39 days left, the most important election in world history. 12 hours, 59 minutes, 56 seconds. It is Thursday, September 26, 2024. You've heard the news. InfoWars will be shut down on November 13th. I've got new details on that coming up. All right. So many earth-shaking developments we're going to be going over today. They had big hearings yesterday with the Inspector General over the DOJ said, no, there were masses of feds in January 6th, including in the building. We already know that. We already have the footage that got out. They deleted the rest of it. They've been caught in that. They did the pipe bomb. We broke that years ago with Darren Beatty. He's coming on. It's all coming out. The indictment of Eric Adams in New York, what's really behind that, and so much more. It is a massive transmission. Must watch today. But it's do or die time to support InfoWars. It's up to you whether this broadcast continues. I've been on air for 30 plus years. I started InfoWars 28 years ago. We've been in this building almost 16 years. And in the last 6 years, we've had the feds, the FBI, the CIA, it's all come out in court, run giant demonization operations against myself, my operation, and my crew.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
Lawfare, rigged courts, judges finding me guilty, then holding show trials. All an attempt to not just shut us down, but to demonize the idea of an American populist movement of information and peaceful resistance to their globalist agenda 21 and global agenda 2030. Literal world government, total censorship, internet of things, carbon taxes, social credit score, forced injections, a dystopia. The WEF says officially the future is not human. No humans by 2047 will all be cyborgs. You'll own nothing. You'll like it. You'll eat the bugs. This is hell on earth. We are promoting freedom and liberty and transparency and security and God and country. So, many of you have seen the news everywhere. InfoWars is shut down to be sold November 13th at auction. It's over. It's shut down. No, ladies and gentlemen, I've personally liquidated my assets. I own InfoWars. And so the feds, the Justice Department, can get involved in bankruptcies. They did. They came in, tried to find dirt on me, had private groups come in, accounting firms, made us pay for it, found that I told the truth about everything. So then they told the judge last week, we don't want it to go up for sale. We want it just shut down. We want it closed. And the Sandy Hook Democrat Party, you always hear the families, it's not families, it's the Democratic Party and the FBI on record. They said, we don't want money. We don't want a settlement. We want him shut down. They've said it in the news. They've said it at the courthouse. It's crazy. So now you see the headline, InfoWars be liquidated to pay the families. They're $1.5 billionaire or whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the deep state. It is the system. It is the lawfare. It's out in the open. So just to be clear, the U.S. trustee that the judge fired a few months ago tried to shut us down outside of court order. The judge stopped that. Then a state court tried to liquidate us a few months ago and close the doors and padlock it. The same judge that ran the kangaroo court against me in the Sandy Hook trial here in Texas. The judge overrode that. And they basically said the only way now is for you to liquidate your assets, Chapter 7, and sell it to somebody else. So if patriots buy it, there's a lot of folks saying they are, and that they're the top bidder, then if I like the folks and they don't curtail my free speech, I will work for somebody else. That's how you do it when you have giant judgments anyways. So there's a good chance good people are going to buy it if the auction's open, free, and fair on November 13th. But regardless, I'm going to continue on the air one way or another, unless the globalists start World War III and trigger the internet kill switch and bring in their total censorship, which Hillary Clinton's calling for arresting Trump supporters for their, quote, speech. So the fact they're coming after me means they're coming after you. Trump always says that. They're not coming after me. They've got to get through me to get to you. That's totally true. So in closing, support InfoWars. You'll get your products. Things are in stock. It'll be months till we get shut down. If we do get shut down, that supports the operation. That's great. But also supporting the outside sponsors that are sponsors of InfoWars, but will hopefully go forward one way or another with a new operation or with InfoWars is so critical. And through the sponsors, I'm able to get some support. I'm out of money. I've got to continue to pay for these legal battles, or they'll try to even take over my name and my social media. So I need support. Plus, you need to get our great products. Go to our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. 50 plus amazing Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, you name it, thealexjonesstore.com. Go to our sponsor, drjonesnaturals.com, because regardless of what happens to InfoWars going forward, Dr. Jones Naturals is there and the Alex Jones Store is there. So if you want to support your great products, take action now. It's do or die. I'm in your hands. I'm asking for your support. Plus, these are great products. thealexjonesstore.com, drjonesnaturals.com. Please help us. Thanks for keeping us on air. God bless.
Moment of truth is here. I discovered 40 years ago a well-known plan that millions of others knew about when I was 10 years old.
and my uncle, who I didn't learn until much later had been high-level government secret operations, was that telling me how evil the government was and how they wanted to set up a world government and enslave humanity, how they'd have one computer that controlled the entire planet and controlled our every movement. And my father, that I respected and I knew was super smart, nodding his head, listening to my mother's brother, who he just admired. And I'm just so blessed that my life, I've had a leg up early on knowing about this and having great family. And by the time I was 15, I knew I wanted to be in the media and fight these people because I believed in you. And I knew they had a long-range plan, incrementalism, and that if we got ahead of it, people wouldn't listen at first. But I knew, because God was literally telling me this, and at that time I didn't know it was God. I would just have these ideas, and they were so strong, I get chills up and down my spine that I had a mission and that I was supposed to do something. And when I was screwing around with women or screwing around, you know, partying, I didn't take drugs but drinking, I remember the Holy Spirit saying, this is not your mission. And so from the age of 20 on, I'm 50 now, I've been on air for 30 years and 6 months, 30 and a half years now, and I just now see God's hand on everything. The Lord works in mysterious ways, and God's hand is on you. It is Thursday, September 26, 2024. The quickening is obviously here. We passed the point of no return. We're going into global crisis. But out of that crisis, there will be great opportunity to find God again and find who we are and stand up and build a new, better, safer, more prosperous, God-loving, God-fearing system. My phone is melting off the hook. The email is on fire. Amazing things are happening behind the scenes. Incredibly prominent people are calling me up and saying, what do you need? What should we do? And that's because InfoWars will close on November 13th. The Democratic Party CIA FBI operation, that's now all public, they're very public, they're so arrogant, says that they don't want money. They've said it on the courthouse steps and in hearings in federal court this year. They want to shut this down. And they claim they've got big money people that are going to, no matter what happens, bid to get InfoWars and the trademark, the copyright, and shut it down. And they've said, we'll own Alex Jones's name, even though that you can't own that under law, and that we're going to take your social media. They filed that in court. Just pull it up, Reuters AP. And that they're going to continue to just sue me forever and say I won't pay them the $1.5 billion that I would never have made in 10 lifetimes. And now they admit all the lies about hundreds of millions of dollars isn't true. And they had three outside accounting firms and the Justice Department and the IRS audit me and found nothing because I use mainline respected CPA companies and I don't touch any of it. And it's all above board. And so they got pissed off, and now I've learned from three guests in the last week, and one of them's willing to come on the show. Well, they all are, actually. The owner of that, one of the most popular nasal sprays I had in here, that the government's coming after because it's in the studies and admittedly blocks viruses hooking up to the cells, and they killed millions of people not, you know, trying to block that truth. I talked to Mr. Jones this morning of that company, and he said, yeah, the feds came to him and said, hey, did you pay Alex Jones to come on a show? He goes, that's not illegal. Why were they asking me that? He said, come here in studio and tell you about it. He said, why did they do? What are they? And I said, don't you understand? I already got two calls. I told him this morning. He texted me last night. I talked to him this morning, like 6:30 in the morning. He was already up, even though he's in Salt Lake. And I was already up. It'd be like 4:30 for him. And I said, don't you understand? They got all my accounting, and in a bankruptcy, you have to put all your money in an account, and then when it's over, they take the money, which they did, and anything extra you've got, which is fine. I don't care about money, except I need it to operate. They're looking for me not declaring something in bankruptcy, even though this guy was here months after I was out of bankruptcy. They don't even care. He goes, oh, yeah, they were asking about, you know, you, the FBI, the federal government. That's exact calls I got last week. Hey, from guests we have on, hey, the feds, you know, say they need to talk to me. There's a grand jury. That's all they got, folks. You know, when I have a sponsor, we don't do product placement where somebody pays me money and I'm just wear a shirt or there's a can of Budweiser sitting on the, or, you know, like Wayne's World where they make a joke out of it and go, oh, look, Doritos, how delicious. We don't do that. When I have a sponsor, I go, this is my sponsor. I think it's the best. Here's their website. Here's their phone number. Here's the product. It's complete old-fashioned, like at the beginning of Andy Griffin, you know, back when they first had the first season, at the end of the show, he'd go, you know, I love Jell-O and our sponsor's Jell-O. Guys, pull up an Andy Griffin Jell-O ad. It was just, here's our sponsor. I love Jell-O. I don't have some tactic. That's just how I pitch things because I didn't even go to school for that. I just go, here's a great sponsor. We think it's great. And you know who our sponsors are. It's like, this is our sponsor, DrJonesNaturals.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com, InfoWars, satellite, InfoWarsPhone.com, The Wellness Company, our great folks. You know, all of that, it's 100% totally Mayberry RFD, this is it. Go to our website. We have the best water filter, gravity fed with the highest ratings, the lowest price. People go look it up. They go, God, it is like at least half the price of leading competitors. There's only three or four that are at this high rating. How do you sell it for half of what other people do? Well, I guess we're dumb. We only make 30% on it. Maybe I should go sell the expensive one people want it. But I'd rather just sell 10 times more and have the best price. I think you're like me. You're looking for, you know, I could sure as hell sell vitamins a lot cheaper, but they'd be crap. It wouldn't work. That's why the stuff you buy from us works. I want it to work. I want you to love it. I want you to get it. I want you to come back over and over again. It's a relationship. So that's a whole other news story before I hit all of this, that the Justice Department, and for every three people I get a call from, you know it's 20. They're calling guests saying, did you secretly pay him money so they can indict me? And that's why I'm so busy with covering the news and the election and all that's happening. They want to do this to me to pin me down, so I'm defending myself instead of attacking the globalists. But this is important because it's how they're attacking everybody. It's how they're attacking Trump, Giuliani, everybody. And like Don Jr. said and Eric Trump has said on TV, for everything you hear about, there's at least 10 other things you don't hear about they're doing to the Trumps. So I don't spend my time whining and bitching about this stuff, but I do have to tell the listeners, look, I'm a tough guy. I don't have to imagine I'm tough. I don't think about how I'm tough, but I look back sometimes in my life and I'm like, God, I'm crazy. I mean, you know, something's wrong with me, actually. I remember I only had three or four security guys. We go down to a Trump rally in Dallas and they'd hired 500 serious felon thugs that didn't even know politics. And they were threatening us and I couldn't help it. I turned and walked into the Antifa crowd, not even looking for a fight, but I couldn't be afraid of them. And these were seasoned former special operations military, Green Berets, Navy SEALs. They were like freaking scared. They go, you're nuts, man. And I said, God told me to go in there. And you know what happened? It was all these, you could tell, felon white guys, felon black guys, big, mean dudes there to intimidate Trump supporters, scream at him, yell at him. And they started going, wait a minute, that's Alex Jones. He's a good guy. He had the real Rick Ross on about the CIA. They went, wait, I know who he is. And by the end of it, they were coming over and high-fiving us. Some were still didn't know who we were. There was some Antifa white professor types in hoods and black trying to direct them to attack us. But when they were threatening us, 500 of them, I couldn't help it. I was like, I've got to go in there or I'm not a man. And I'm not trying to act tough. I'm telling you, there's video of that. The security people all over the country called me about it. They said, you're nuts. You should never do that. I didn't do it as a stunt. I didn't even know when I got there. I saw them yelling at families with kids. I saw them yelling at pregnant women. And I said, I'm going to march in there, and they may get me at the end, but I'm going to break some jaws and bash some brains out of at least five or six of them before they get me. And it's that thing comes over. You just all of a sudden feel like you're 50 feet tall and just rah, because they were messing with women and families. And I went, I'm going in there. And the security's like, no. And I go, we're going in. And the security did follow me in to the midst of that. We got to dig that footage up. And I walked all the way around and through that crowd twice. And by the end, they were like, wait, that's Alex Jones. Wait. Hey, he's not bad. They've been paid to be there, folks. And I've never seen a crowd that nasty. And I've been all over the country at these rallies. That was right when we bought the armored truck. That was like 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And we drove right into the middle of that. parked it, got out, went into there. And I'm not telling that story to act tough. That's not what this is about. I don't get intimidated by the government and the corrupt agencies. I get mad that they're intimidating good people. And we've got to be an example of strength and honor in the face of this. And if I went out and started a fight with some guy painting the side of a house for no reason, who weighed 180 pounds, he would kick my ass because I wouldn't be in the right. The only fights I ever lost was where I wasn't 100% in the right. But when I'm in the right, I would have stomped those, I would have probably beaten half to death 10 of those people if they'd attacked us, because I could feel it. The Viking rage controlled, where you just order your brain, just head in the concrete, knee in the side of somebody's head, the bones crunch, the teeth fall out. The enemies fall because you're in the right. But we have to take that spirit, and we have to peacefully, in information warfare and truth, take that raw will and fire it at the enemy. And the reason I told that story that I was thinking about this morning was a way to describe this, you know, pretty high level for a young man, highly decorated Marine, who testified in Congress yesterday with all the J6 stuff that I'm about to get to coming out. And he said, he starts talking about them persecuting him for being a Christian, for talking about FBI informants in the crowd, and obviously arresting FBI's fake Antifa, and taking the handcuffs off and high-fiving them, and all that video we've got. And he said that they tried to ruin him and destroy him and his family and a bunch of other FBI agents that told the truth. And he starting to cry while he's reading it. And it's not because he's a wimp. I know what he's feeling. As he tells the truth, he feels the Holy Spirit. And when you're in the presence of God's love, it shakes you when you're telling the truth, because God likes that. And God carried him through this for that moment. And God was pleased with him, but you have to take it one step further. That's a baby, and I'm not saying he's a baby in the Holy Spirit, which most people never get past that. The Comforter, there's a different part of the Holy Spirit when you take that and go, okay, I'm not going to just be in awe of God. I'm going to turn myself over now, and I'm going to let God shine through. And then, as the Bible says, God does not give us a spirit of weakness or fear, but of strength and overcoming. I'm paraphrasing. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Look up the actual quote. Bold as a lion. And I'm telling you, the Satanists try to have this power with their demonicness and their rage. It's all a fake facsimile of the real Holy Spirit. And the real moment, if men that feel that will then just say, okay, I know I'm freaked out in the presence of God. That's God literally touching you, saying, I'm all about free will. Give me the keys. And that's when those speeches and that information comes out that the crowds just absolutely energize with, because it's through a distorted darkly of your sinful self, but still God shines through in that moment, and everybody knows it and everybody sees it. And it's in information, it's in understanding, it's in logic, it's in science, it's in warfare, it's in everything. It's the zone. It's what Star Wars turns into a cheesy facsimile, the Force. The Force is with you. And that's why the ancients all said, the ancient Christians, if God be with us, who can stand against us? And you've got to really realize, and I know you know this, and I know this, we got to really understand that it's all God. Because I'm 50, and God's been with me my whole life watching over me. And I loved God and was a Christian, but slipped. And it wasn't until I was about 18 or 19 that I became, you know, really strong with God and stronger. But I still thought, almost like a subconscious arrogance, that I don't need God all the way. It's me doing it. It's me that's going to have the strength and the courage and the will. And then I would get mad at myself because I couldn't defeat the enemy right away. And because it was, and I would get down on myself and get upset and get pissed at the enemy. Until the last 6, 7, 8 years, and it was a process. I was getting better all the time. Now, I rarely do I catch myself getting mad and upset and frustrated. That's when, for a moment, I'm thinking it's me. It's not me. I'm just a bag of bones and blood, but I've got a spirit that can aim its antenna at God. That's the power. It's all God. 100% God. God made us. God gave us free will, and we have to want that relationship, and you have that, nothing can stop you. But it's when you're aligned with God that you will then feel the full power. And I'll tell you, I know a lot of great men and a lot of great women, but they have a humbleness about them that they never, because when the Holy Spirit approaches them, they stay in the comforter stage. And I've heard no one ever talk about this, but this is known in your spirit. And if you read the Bible, it's there, but nowhere else. That's why you'll see really powerful preachers that aren't just good orators. There's something about what they're saying, and this fire comes over them. They're glowing. They're shining. And they're saying these things, and it's not just their oration. It's that you know it and you feel it, and it's because they, at a spiritual level, because I don't even teach this in seminary, I've looked it up, had get past the comforter zone and go into the John the Baptist mode, who was aggressive and fire-breathing and scary. Because God's scary. That's what people say. He doesn't fear God. The foolishness to not fear God. I mean, the ancient Jews wouldn't even say God's name. They feared God so much. Not before the Babylonian captivity and all that stuff that came out after. I'm talking about the original Jews. And when you start to really think about that, it's because it is so awesome when you dial into that and you're given above and over the horizon information and you have dreams that come true and you know it's not you, something that awesome, you better treat it with respect. Absolute, total respect. But that's why people never take on the full power. And I understand why, because of the God-fearing. But when God wants you to be a champion and a lion and opens up those channels, you need to do it. Because I don't want to just be one of the only people that's able to do this, that's on our team. Because the devil's got his thing and his people open it up. You see what they do. And it's their own little twisted counterfeit of what God does. It's not confidence. It's total completion, eternity, the quiet place of the Most High that King David talked about, that you then project into the third dimension and you show the people the power of God. The unlimited total completion. And it's just a spark of God, just a reflection of God's reflection of a shadow of a shadow, but still it's the most awesome thing in this universe. And when people see it and hear it and taste it, they know it in their bones. So I'm going to go to break. I'm going to stop preaching. I'm going to come back and I'm going to get into all the news, and it's massive. And the globalists are in full collapse, which we shouldn't. We should respect that, because that makes them more dangerous than ever. Their commitment to pure evil to stay in power. They're willing to blow the planet up, but we can stop them with God's help. But I'm going to just say this very clearly. I have always told you the truth. I have never lied to you on purpose. I've made plenty of mistakes. And when I tell you something, it's the absolute truth through my distorted human temporal understanding. But it's as close as you're going to get to the truth as there is out there, okay, in my view. The enemy wants us off the air because they're about to make their big moves. That's obvious. Everybody knows that. I'm not going to belabor this. I need money to fight this war. I try to make it easy for you to get great things while you do it. I'm up against the deep state. I got God on my side. God has to work through you. I came on air yesterday and I asked for people's help. And we had a little extra money come in. That ain't going to cut it. And if that's God's plan, fine. Because I know if they shut this down, there'll be plenty of money coming in. But that's the hiccup the enemy wants, and the victory and the image they want, like seizing a Roman standard. We don't want that to happen. And I've pledged to fight as hard as I can to keep this place on air. So without getting into all the minutia, we have sponsors that pay Free Speech Systems and the bankruptcy trustee to be on air. And after I went out of bankruptcy and liquidated, which is happening, I've already signed it over, so it's not mine, I'm able to get money from some of these sponsors in the deal we have. Some of the money. I have to pay for the defense of InfoWars in the court and for my free speech defense. And there's a bunch of stuff has to be done. And I've got top lawyers, and the enemy spent over $70 million, almost $70 million the last 6-7 years doing this, 40-something in just the last two. We beat them every year with just millions. But in the next 3 months or so, I need $1 million, which is chicken feed in today's stuff, to fight the enemy. And you'd hear me in court. They'd say, oh, Mr. Jones, you got a $7 million donation. You kept all that, didn't you? I went, no, I put everything in except $100,000 for a bonus to the crew, which I guess is the crew anyways. And I paid for $25,000 software as a backup at my house for some software studio stuff. They go, okay, we're going to go to jail. We don't believe that. The Justice Department's investigating. You remember that in Connecticut? And it all came out in court. Everything I said was exactly true. People are like, he took a private donation to him and gave it all away? Of course I did. I don't give a rat's ass about stupid-ass money. I want it as a weapon to use it to fund our operation. It's I don't worship gas I put in my car, but I need the gas. Money is gas or fertilizer and sunlight and water to plants. So I need money. I can't make, God, I'm going to get $5,000 of my cut yesterday. That ain't going to cut it. I need $1 million in the next few weeks into the out of my cut, which is small, so that I can fight them. I'm out of gas. I'm up against the wall. I'll keep fighting all the way. But we have millions of listeners right now. Less than 1% buy anything. I'm not bitching at you, but what are you doing? This is the real war. This is the real deal. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Incredible Patriot t-shirts. It's an adventure to wear them out in public. You get almost nothing but love. Might get attacked. That's rare. Don't wear them in super blue areas. You probably get a lot of love there, too. I do. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Ball caps, all of it. I think we're going to put a t-shirt up there that costs like $50. It's a fundraiser t-shirt or something. Because, you know, the t-shirts are quality. They're well-made. They cost them like $13-14 to make. And then after all the added expenses and crap in there, you know, I end up getting a couple bucks a shirt. I need support. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. Right now, if you want to keep us on air and whatever they do to InfoWars, it's key to have the support there in this operation. And drjonesnaturals.com, my dad's supplement company. Everything's almost sold out there. There's still some great stuff there. New stuff's coming in soon, but I need to support now. drjonesnaturals.com. Thank you for your support. This is a war. I'm backed by the people. I need your support. drjonesnaturals.com, thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.
You can feel the energy. Humanity is making its choice for the next 10,000 years. It's as if we have pulled an arrow from our quiver. Set it to the bow. Hold it back. Focused our eye. Aimed at the target. And prepare to softly loose the arrow. The entire trajectory of our species, our destiny, is now in our hands. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the big one. All right. Let me tell you what's coming up. We got a bunch of big guests today. Roger is, you know, lives in New York. Most of the time he moved down to Florida years ago, but he has all the intel. Roger Stone on Eric Adams' indictment that we knew was coming. It's very important because it shows the political process and how it's all political. And he didn't follow orders exactly the way he was supposed to. And that also makes it look less political that they've indicted a political candidate who's the front runner, Trump. So they're doing that to look legitimate and for other reasons. But he was chosen because he didn't quite jump as high as they said when they wanted. He's a horrible person, totally corrupt, openly, you know, firing his whole family, violating laws, taking foreign money, total crook. But got a little power trip when he's up there, the mayor. And, you know, he thumb his nose at the New World Order when he works for him, when they let him get in there. No, sir. We got Dr. Beatty coming on. He's been all over, done the best job exposing January 6th as an inside job, which is now confirmed in Congress yesterday on that mega bombshell. And then Robert J. O'Neill is probably the most famous Navy SEAL out there. And, you know, I've questioned the Bin Laden raid. A lot of experts thought it was a big body double by the military base there in Pakistan. But the people that went there thought it was and got shot at, and the helicopter blew up. And Then they gave it to the Navy, and they said they threw him in the ocean. That's not what we're getting into today. We'll talk about it some. He says, though, he used to think I was wrong. He doesn't trust the government now and thinks I'm mainly right. It's not about that, but he's a really interesting, smart guy, and been in a lot of other medals and is definitely a war hero, definitely a smart guy. He'll be in studio. He's also a best-selling author, Drew Hernandez, and more. Now, that's coming up later. Second, third hour, as I said. I did my preaching for 30 minutes, so I better be a good boy and cover the main news, and I'll intersperse more details on this as the broadcast goes, and then obviously breaking news as that unfolds. So the Eric Adams is big, but we're doing 30 minutes with Roger on that coming up in about 25 minutes. So I'm going to set that aside, and boy, a lot of amazing clips. Also, it's been testified to by his main bodyguard, Pedo Diddy. And it's come out that he worked with Epstein's handlers, and it's all CIA. And now they admit that the government has the videotapes of royalty, politicians, and preachers screwing underage boys and girls, and cameras everywhere, exact same CIA operation. And then you ask, why is it coming out now? Well, you see all these people that are involved doing exactly what they're told right now. All these politicians, all these movie stars, people endorsing Kamala, running around like chickens with their heads cut off doing it. That's because the New World Order is activating their setup, and I would expect them to kill P. Diddy sooner rather than later, or Pedo Diddy, as he is known. Then we have Zuckerberg coming out saying he's a libertarian and likes Republicans now. That signals that they know that Trump's win, if they can't kill him, is going to be so big that they can't steal it. So Zuckerberg has definitely hired PR firms, he admits, to try to not be destroyed with what's coming. So that's a rat leaving a sinking ship. That's the enemy panicking. That's a good sign. Again, they're activating their blackmail systems that they've already got in place. They're activating the dirt so they can, oh, the government can now bring it out, people that ran the whole thing. They'll have the FBI that didn't run it but was covering it up. Now the CIA is activating that honeypot operation. We've also got Russia officially, Putin in a speech yesterday saying, we're greenlighting nuclear weapons. If any heavy Western weapons bombard our soil, the U.S. will do that too. We will then nuke NATO targets. Within about 5 minutes, NATO will respond with nukes. And then within 30 minutes, most people are dead on the face of the earth. So that's a really serious situation. And I notice the talking points in the press and when I post on X about this, and I see it on other people's accounts like Elon's, when he speaks out against World War III, they go, come on, Russia never crosses the red lines, even though we cross them, and Putin's a wimp, and, you know, get your Pampers, Elon, you know, wear your diapers, Alex. It's all bot responses. Just like you could take stuff Biden said 4 years ago, and now Kamala's saying the exact same thing in the exact same order. I got a video of that coming up. They're just giving a script. So you're not manly if you don't want World War III. The Pentagon just 2 years ago said don't escalate or lead to nuclear war. So did Biden. Now they just disregard all the doctrine and all the known stuff that's been war-gamed out the ass. That's not even enough. There's a, how do you say, I mean, like, out the ass times infinity? Excuse my French. But, I mean, this is just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And the response is, A, there's no danger of nuclear war, or B, it's survivable. Like Sean Penn said, let's do it. And, oh, if you don't want nuclear war, you know, you need to wear your Pampers. Psychotic, demonic, insane. The West started the war 11 years ago. It's all on record. I think Putin made a big mistake going in. I told the Russians on their own shows, do not go in. I had high-level Russians on 2 days before they invaded, and I'm like, I know you're lying. Stop lying. And they're going, sorry, my feed is cutting out. It's bye-bye. The Russians are on, and I'm like, guys, you need to not do this. And so they took the bait, and now we're on the edge of World War III. So I criticized our own government. I told the Russians they were wrong. And, I mean, it's just out of control, folks. It's totally insane. And I'm on the side of not having a nuclear war, okay? I'm on the side of living and our children having a future. That's who I work for. Not our corrupt, stinking government, not the Russians, none of it. Common sense. So that's coming up. There's just so much more, but I'm not even going to get into that now. Let's go ahead in the time we have. Let's get into this. And this is so big. I got a film crew here Saturday, international film crew, and I'm doing some other stuff. But you know what? I'll take a break from 8 hours with the film crew tomorrow, And I'm going to do an hour on this because there's no way. I know tomorrow's Friday. I don't know about Saturday. Maybe I'll do an hour tomorrow. I mean, I'll do some now. But I have this issue with something being so big and have so many clips that it's just, well, Darren Beatty's going to be joining us. But let me just give you the boil down, and then I'll play some of these clips. And I know as this audience, because you're super active, you don't even need to tune into me to know this. You've been researching it. So remember, for our main audience, I know you know this. I'm not patronizing you. But we have millions of new listeners that come through every day. So you talk about total vindication of myself and Trump and Tucker Carlson, Dr. Darren Beatty, and everybody else. The Inspector General of the Justice Department came out yesterday and testified and said, we're not releasing the report yet, but we can tell you massive numbers of federal agents outside and inside the building. Now, we have the FBI director saying that's not true. We have a bunch of other FBI senior people in testimonies. We have those clips saying it's not true 3 years ago, 2 years ago, a year ago. And now the Inspector General says, actually, it's true. And we're going to put a report out on it. I don't need the Inspector General to tell me that. I have people rioting and breaking windows out, and the cops run up, the Capitol Police, and you see them pull badges out real quick, and then the cops go, well, okay. Or they arrest them and then high-five them and take the handcuffs off, and it's all a big joke. I mean, I've got video after video after video after video of that. And then guess what? Now we learn why when Congress went and tried to get the 36,000 hours, they kept saying, oh, no, it's classified. You can't release it. You can't show federal agents' faces. The feds erased most of it. Just like they had the fake January 6th committee that wasn't properly constituted, where Republicans got to appoint their people, the Democrats appointed who they wanted. You know, Liz Cheney and those people. My testimony to Congress, all erased. Roger Stone's, everybody else's, erased. Erased. And the whole record, they use it to gobble up all the info and then erase it. Millions of pages, tens of thousands of videos, all erased. Giant, multi-$100 million investigation. Thousands of FBI agents on the case to suck up all the data and flush it down a toilet. So, and then they have a senior FBI agent on. You know, he ran whole operations, decorated Marine, and he saw all this and said early, hey, there are feds involved. So they tried to fire him, destroy him, took his security clearance. He's the only FBI agent to ever get it back. He listed a bunch of others in Congress that haven't gotten it back. And he said, listen, it's because I love God. I can't lie. And this is really shameful. And he went on to say, the agency's super corrupt at the top. You better get guns, food, and water. I've got that clip. Now why is he telling you that? Because he knows they're gearing up for war with us. And by the way, I don't want to have a war with the FBI. And you don't want to have a war with the American people. I mean, this is the globalists want to sit back while we blow the country up and kill each other. They're trying to make it racial, too, when everything collapses, to make it black on white instead of America on the globalist. Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, you're arrested. Hillary Clinton, you're arrested. Can we just do that? Can we just turn this around? Or are we all a bunch of morons and going to just descend into total bedlam? The globalists are out of gas. They're idiots. They're inbred. They're insane. They're starting World War III. We're all cruising for total collapse on the good end and potential total nuclear war. I mean, look, Hitler's generals were evil and bad, and they wanted world domination. They were just like him. But by 43, they were like, we got to get rid of this guy. We're going to lose. And they could have sued for peace and had a deal, and none of this would, you know, you wouldn't have 20-something million dead Germans. Most of them got killed at the end. But Hitler was actually in charge, so they tried to kill him a few times. It didn't work. Valkyrie wasn't the only time with the bomb. He put it behind on the side of the desk, and a big leg of the desk blocked Hitler, who had uncharacteristically good luck in World War I as well. So, but there's not one guy we can get rid of here, and it all stops. So even bad people in the government should be like the German general staff and say, we got to kill this system. We got to kill this trajectory. We got to kill starting wars with everybody, open borders, total pandemonium, the government and corporations stealing as fast as they can, grabbing up all the money. I mean, even mid-level bureaucrats are building small bunkers and stuff. Even mid-level people that work for the system, they're only worth, you know, $10 million or something. They're all trying to hide out. Wow, what a great system where you screw everything up so you can steal money and have power, and then everything's screwed and your money will be worthless. What a dumb idea. You know, Henry Ford paid his workers three times what everybody else did because he said, they're going to all buy my car. And then that will help build the infrastructure and cities will build roads. And then it'll make me the most popular. And that was true. But see, if you don't have roads to drive down, dumbasses, if you don't have a society to live in, how's your billions of dollars? What's it worth? That's what Elon Musk said to me in that long 2.5 hour interview. He said, the globalist trajectory is total collapse where our money will be worth nothing. This is a suicide mission. This is a death cult. Team humanity must rise and stop it. And so they've got all these yes men and women in the Justice Department and these lawyers who don't even understand history or the military or anything, and they're just running around prosecuting and persecuting the best people in America while they defend and turn loose all these criminals to destabilize the country in some Cloward and Piven strategy where they have a great reset and things collapse and then they build back better, the UN plan. But that only works if the public doesn't know you're behind it, Dumbo. And we made sure people know it's you. So my message to people that are on the fence or in the system or yes men and to the establishment at the top, you can see this dog isn't going to hunt. I mean, you might be able to kill Trump or kill me or throw some people in prison. You might be able to sink the whole ship and claim you're in charge as we all go underwater, but that's stupid. And it's the devil in you that is manipulating you into this position to believe you can destroy everything and somehow come out on top. Reject Satan. That is a satanic spirit and a satanic directive. We need a giant exorcism over this country and the whole damn world because this is crazy town. And the devil pope, open the borders. The number one thing is open the borders. Be loving. That's charity starts at home. Well, the Vatican won't take one of these illegal aliens. Well, the Pope takes 10 Haitians in his own quarters. I'll start listening to him. So this is a war on the West, a war on freedom, a war on prosperity, because the globalists don't want anybody to have prosperity. And if Western countries are still free and prosperous, the rest of the world's going to demand that too. And the globalists don't want that because they don't want to just make you poor to control you. They want a post-human world where we all have no rights and are guinea pigs. It's mad scientist run. And we've got to stop them. So I can show you all the proof. I can show you the inspector general saying all this. I can show you the FBI agent saying crooks running at the top, and you better get guns and food and water, and you better get ready. Do I have to explain to you how they want to take over? All the globalists got to do with their technocrats, they got kill switches in every power plant, every switching system, every red light system, everything, is they hit one button and they got all these pre-programmed scenarios and they go, oh my God, somebody hacked us. The East Coast went down. Oh my God, California went down. Oh no. Oh, the banks went down. Don't worry. We've got a new app that stabilizes it and you've got to sign this contract and it'll put it all in one big ledger and you'll get most of your money back. And you'll actually get extra back. They'll be heroes. Because the economy is so powerful and big, we could all be working 2 days a week right now, folks. They add all the bureaucracy and lawyers to make it not work, to keep scarcity going, to control you. Because if you have enough to live and be independent, you'll be uppity and not want to serve them. This is all known statecraft. That's why every system in the history to the last 500 years was feudalist. Because they kept you on a tiny piece of land while the king had 98% of it, so you were at starvation level and 2 feet shorter than the nobility because you never got enough food, so they could control you, keep you on a short leash. It's feudalism. That's what the New World Order is for those that even get to live. It's the Hunger Games, for real. They've got all the technology, you get nothing. They've got all the life extension, you've got nothing. They can go all over the world, you get nothing. And how do they get the districts after a nuclear war? That's not life imitating art. That's art imitating life. That's where they want to take us in their own documents. That's not a series of books or movies. That's a futurist documentary. That's in UN documents from the 60s they're playing to bring back gladiatorial games, to have who survives live in rural areas without electricity and have a few command cities that the globalists live in, city-states. We have their plan. It's hellish. But if we just follow their technocratic orders, they'll build it. Well, guess what? We're not accepting your architecture. We're not accepting your plan. And that's why they don't like me, because I can see their plan. It's public, and I expose their plan. Men have one-third on average the testosterone in the Western world. And as soon as African countries industrialize, it's happening to them. Or Brazil. They're putting it in the water, folks. I was looking at a photo album at my parents' house a few weeks ago, and I actually found a bunch of photos of my grandfather getting, you know, flying crosses and stuff, and I'm going to get those and scan them and put them on. It's just interesting. And, I mean, he looks like cooler and more manly than, like, you know, top movie stars. And I'm looking through all these photos of his brothers and family, and they all look like tougher than John Wayne, man. I'm like a wimp compared to these people. And I look at my mom's family, they all look like freaking movie stars. And it's because they weren't being given fluoride and all these poisons and all this crap. Every time I talk about this, the media makes jokes about it. You know, in the Western world, three generations back now, men's penises are half as big as they were. They give it to frogs. They don't even develop male genitalia. This is a plan, people. It ain't funny. Everything is about knowing about this and opposing it. And that's what I'm saying to everybody, is that notice everything I've talked about for 30 years is now out in the open and happened. It's not that I'm a prophet, like Tucker Carlson said nicely in Pennsylvania to a capacity crowd of 15,000 a few days ago. It's that they said what they would do, and it's all there. You just have to have the will to admit how horrible it is. So I can play all these amazing clips and show the Inspector General. It's all on Infowars.com and on my X feed. But it's just a blip on the radar. Oh, wow, they just said there were a bunch of feds inside and outside and fake arrest and feds knocking out windows. You can see it, the police doing fake arrests and releasing them and high-fiving them. The guys in black knocking the windows out. Then the cops shoot tear gas at the peaceful crowd and try to get a fight going. And the average cop wasn't in on it. But the point is that that's small potatoes compared to what's going on. So you have to decide whether you want these people to slowly kill you and brainwash you. And the whole thing is about getting your soul. Manipulating you, demoralizing you to the point where you don't know who you are. That's their plan. And it's a horrible plan. But again, you have to admit this is being done. And a lot of people don't want responsibilities. They think that's a big job. That's scary to believe that. It's 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, 1,000,000,000,000, infinities worse. It's your soul. To let them win and bow to their system. This is the test. Saying no to this, overcoming this, even if your body doesn't, your will, your spirit, is the test. It's the point of being alive. It's the point of free will. It's everything. It's not 99%. It's not 99.8%. It's not 99.9%. It's 100% everything. And then what people think about you doesn't matter. And you're not driving the coolest car, who cares? If you've got a relationship with God that's real, and you love justice, and you're helping people, and you're helping yourself, and you love God, that's all God wants, is you to love him. And then if you love God, God's going to love you. God already loves you. And then God's going to do things for you. But you won't even want it once God does it for you. You'll just want to be closer to God. So God hates cowards, and it really comes down to that. So they have all these videos and articles all over the news of me breaking down crying when the feds tried to close the doors without a court order 12 weeks ago out of a 15-hour live broadcast. It was up late. I was tired. And I was thinking about my children and nuclear war in the future and how corrupt the Justice Department is. They would try something like that and just how far we've fallen. and I got tears in my eyes of emotion and loving God and just interfacing with the universe and consciousness. And so I started crying, and they went, look, he's crying. They're taking his company away. Oh, look, he's crying. And then they take that out of context to make you feel demoralized and defeated. Oh, look, Alex is crying. No. I'm empowered that the enemy would be this desperate to do things like that. It's energizing. This persecution is amazing. It's the best thing other than my children that's ever happened in my life. It's opened doors up. It's made me stronger. It's trained me. It's done so much. I was crying because the Holy Spirit was so strong. And I know you know that, but I just want you to know how the enemy operates. Oh, look, he's crying. He's pathetic. We're going to shut him down. As if that won't wake up even more people. But I refuse to be Machiavellian and do my own weird false flag and not 100% try to keep InfoWars on air because they want it. Even though if they shut it down, it's going to make us bigger. But I refuse to pull my punches. I refuse I fight harder to keep this on the air. Even though I at a temporal level think, well, if I let them shut it down, it'll be even bigger. But that's not what God wants me to do. He wants me to fight as hard as I can for this operation with this flag, with InfoWars, because that's in God's plan, and I can't understand it. But God wants me to keep this on the air. He wants to keep InfoWars going. So I'm going to do that with everything I've got, but I can't do it without you. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get T-shirts now. That's how you keep this operation one way or the other on air. Go there now. That's the coordinates of victory. Thealexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com and InfoWarsStore.com, where Vitamin Refusion, ready to ship in stock, is 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with me. All right. Roger Stone's coming on with the inside scoop on Eric Adams and on the January 6th. Inspector General saying, yeah, no, the feds were all over the place, and that means the federal agencies all lied. Of course they did. Guys knocking out the windows, attacking police, pull out their badge real quick, and then they fake handcuff them, bring them inside, take the handcuffs off, high-five them. Wow. We got you. We got your ass. Meanwhile, Owen Schroyer spent 3-4 months in federal prison, and they put in the federal filing. They said, Owen Schroyer's committed perjury. He never worked at InfoWars. In a filing, he'd worked here 7-8 years. They put him in prison. They said he wasn't with Alex Jones that day trying to stop people going in. He was part of it. Total lie? Prison. Let's go to this report. I've been on air for 30-plus years. I started InfoWars 28 years ago. We've been in this building almost 16 years. And in the last 6 years, we've had the feds, the FBI, the CIA, it's all come out in court, run giant demonization operations against myself, my operation, and my crew.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
Lawfare, rigged courts, judges finding me guilty, then holding show trials. All an attempt to not just shut us down, but to demonize the idea of an American populist movement of information and peaceful resistance to their globalist agenda 21 and global agenda 2030. Literal world government, total censorship, Internet of Things, carbon taxes, social credit score, forced injections, a dystopia. WEF says officially, the future is not human. No humans by 2047 will all be cyborgs. You'll own nothing. You'll like it. You'll eat the bugs. This is hell on earth. We are promoting freedom and liberty and transparency and security and God and country. So, many of you have seen the news everywhere. InfoWars is shut down to be sold November 13th at auction. It's over. It's shut down. No, ladies and gentlemen, I've personally liquidated my assets. I own InfoWars. And so, the feds, the Justice Department, can get involved in bankruptcies. They did. They came in, tried to find dirt on me, had private groups come in, accounting firms, made us pay for it, found that I told the truth about everything. So then they told the judge last week, we don't want it to go up for sale. We want it just shut down. We want it closed. And the Sandy Hook Democrat Party, you always hear the families, it's not families, it's the Democratic Party and the FBI on record. They said, we don't want money. We don't want a settlement. We want him shut down. They've said it in the news. They've said it at the courthouse. It's crazy. So now I see the headline, InfoWars be liquidated to pay the families. They're $1.5 billion or whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the deep state. It is the system. It is the lawfare. It's out in the open. So just to be clear, The U.S. trustee that the judge fired a few months ago tried to shut us down outside of court order. The judge stopped that. Then a state court tried to liquidate us a few months ago and close the doors and padlock it. The same judge that ran the kangaroo court against me in the Sandy Hook trial here in Texas. The judge overrode that. And they basically said the only way now is for you to liquidate your assets, Chapter 7, and sell it to somebody else. So if Patriots buy it, there's a lot of folks saying they are, and that they're the top bidder, then if I like the folks and they don't curtail my free speech, I will work for somebody else. That's how you do it when you have giant judgments anyways. So there's a good chance good people are going to buy it if the auction's open, free, and fair on November 13th. But regardless, I'm going to continue on the air one way or another, unless the globalists start World War III and trigger the internet kill switch and bring in their total censorship, which Hillary Clinton's calling for arresting Trump supporters for their, quote, speech. So the fact they're coming after me means they're coming after you. Trump always says that. They're not coming after me. They've got to get through me to get to you. That's totally true. So in closing, support InfoWars. You'll get your products. Things are in stock. It'll be months till we get shut down. If we do get shut down, that supports the operation. That's great. But also supporting the outside sponsors that are sponsors of InfoWars, but will hopefully go forward one way or another with a new operation or with InfoWars is so critical. And through the sponsors, I'm able to get some support. I'm out of money. I've got to continue to pay for these legal battles, or they'll try to even take over my name and my social media. So I need support. Plus, you need to get our great products. Go to our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. 50 plus amazing Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, you name it. Thealexjonesstore.com. Go to our sponsor, drjonesnaturals.com. Because regardless of what happens to InfoWars going forward, Dr. Jones Naturals is there and the Alex Jones Store is there. So if you want to support your great products, take action now. It's do or die. I'm in your hands. I'm asking for your support. Plus, these are great products. Thealexjonesstore.com. drjonesnaturals.com. Please help us. Thanks for keeping us on air. God bless.
All right, some scumbag mayor gets indicted, some horrible Democrat like Eric Adams. And, you know, I'm just looking at it on the surface. I'm like, good. But it's the Southern District of New York that is dually as corrupt as the D.C. operation. And that's those two twin towers of evil to the political persecution against Roger Stone, President Trump, myself, anybody else that dares to stand up against their open evil. And if you do what they want, like Pelosi or Maxine Waters or any of these crooks, you can take Chinese communist money by the tens of millions like Biden, millions and millions by Feinstein, everybody. You can have Chinese spies as your chief of staff, no problem. But if you don't do exactly what they say, they will indict you. They also wanted to make it not look political. Oh, look, we indicted a sitting mayor. Never happened in New York City's history. That's an old city set up by pirates 300 years ago or longer. And so this is a big deal because it's a window into why they're operating like this and where they're going. And they're claiming foreign groups are giving Adams money. And I mean, Adams pledged to not hire any family. All he did was do that and create new offices for his family and buddies and. But they don't even want to get into that. They want to control the city and the police department. He's a former police captain. They're doing this as a message to other Democrats to get in line, just like it's now come out even on Fox News, connections to Epstein and the CIA, and the feds now have the P. Diddy tapes, and he was connected to Epstein and the CIA, and they're using that to then scare all the Hollywood folks and, quote, royalty and religious leaders that were there screwing little boys and little girls. And it's all coming out. So they're activating the blackmail dirt they have, and now the feds are the saviors that ran the operation. CIA runs it, FBI shepherds it and controls it, and then they activate it right at election time with 39 days left. So I want to play a few clips and go to Roger Stone, because Roger Stone, of course, has lived a lot in New York. He knows everybody going back to, you name it, from Roy Cohn to Trump from the beginning, and he knows where the bodies are buried, and he's got a lot of intel on why this is happening. But first, here is Eric Adams in his response to this morning, and then a short clip of why he's in trouble when he criticized the open borders and the millions of illegal aliens they brought into the whole New York area, and the fact that New Yorkers are so pissed. For him daring to do this, he is now going to serve probably the rest of his life in prison. Here's the clips.
My fellow New Yorkers, it is now my belief that the federal government intends to charge me with crimes. If so, these charges will be entirely false, based on lies. But they would not be surprising. I always knew that if I stood my ground for all of you, that I would be a target. And a target I became. For months, leaks and rumors have been aimed at me in an attempt to undermine my credibility and paint me as guilty. Just this past week, they searched the home of our new police commissioner, looking for documents from 20 years ago, just 1 week after he joined my administration. Enough. I will fight these injustices with every ounce of my strength and my spirit.
Full support. And let me tell you something, New Yorkers. Never in my life have I had a problem that I did not see an ending to. I don't see an ending to this. I don't see an ending to this. This issue will destroy New York City. Destroy New York City. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month. One time we were just getting Venezuela. Now we're getting Ecuador. Now we're getting Russian speaking coming through Mexico. Now we're getting Western Africa. Now we're getting people from all over the globe have made their minds up that they're going to come through the southern part of the border and come into New York City. And everyone is saying it's New York City's problem. Every community in this city is going to be impacted. We have a $12 billion deficit that we're going to have to cut. Every service in this city is going to be impacted. All of us. And so I say to you, as I turn it over to you, this is some of the most educated, some of the most knowledgeable, probably more of my commissioners and deputy commissioners and chiefs live in this community. So as you asked me a question about migrants, tell me what role you played. How many of you organized to stop what they're doing to us? How many of you were part of the movement to say, we're seeing what this mayor is trying to do and they're destroying New York City? It's going to come to your neighborhoods. All of us are going to be impacted by this. I said it last year when we had 15,000. I'm telling you now, with 110,000, the city we knew, we're about to lose. And we're all in this together, all of us. Staten Island saying, send them out to Manhattan. Manhattan is saying, send them out to Queens. Queens is saying, send them out to Brooklyn. No. Is that the game we can play? Open the floor.
All right, so even though he's been corrupt, and it's public, he plays under our family credit jobs for them. I mean, that's wrong. But I would guess he's probably not a pedophile, and he doesn't want suicide for the city. And he said, I don't see an end to this. There's no way to fix it. That's the point. It collapses the country. So because he's not pure evil, he's being made an example of. That's my view on this, but the real expert on it is Roger Stone, again, top Trump confidant, a master political operator, Roger Stone, StoneZone.com. Roger, what's your take on this?
Well, Alex, it's more nuanced than that. First of all, you have to start with the fact that Eric Adams ran for mayor as an advocate for New York City being a sanctuary city. He said that the migrants were welcome there. And as mayor, he has cited the migrant shelter facilities in stable, working class, in some cases, largely Republican neighborhoods in Staten Island and Queens. In Staten Island, they put the migrant shelter next to a Catholic girls' school. His real complaint is not the policy of the Biden administration, but the fact that they won't send him the money to pay for it. The real problem here is the level of crime by the mayor and his associates just became too egregious. So not only is he charged today with taking $10 million in laundered Turkish campaign funds into a system that has a 10-to-1 public match. So for every $1 of campaign money you raise, the taxpayers subsidize that with an additional 10. But beyond that, his police commissioner's twin brother was essentially selling protection to nightclubs and restaurants. And as long as you paid off the commissioner's brother, well, then you didn't have code enforcement problems with the city of New York or with the New York City Police Department. I think that he's charged here not because he's a critic of Biden. By the way, he's much closer to Kamala Harris. But because the level of crime got to be so egregious. And at the same time, Alex, very much like the FBI, he continues to insist with his police commissioner, who was forced to resign last week, that crime in New York City is down, when in fact crime in New York City is not down. So the real question here is more complicated. I see his political defense. There's going to be over 300 people in his administration indicted with him. I think that makes it very hard to make the case that this is some kind of case of selective prosecution. In all fairness, within the context of the New York Democrat Party, you notice AOC yesterday called for him to step down. That's because if he vacates the office, which I think is inevitable, the first deputy mayor, I believe, has also been charged, so he won't be able to move up. But they go to an immediate, nonpartisan, ranked choice election, which means the probability of getting a more radical, progressive mayor is really substantial. In other words, no Republican and Democrat primaries. And I think his real sin here is hubris. His real sin here is the level of crime by his school chancellor, by his closest advisor.
By the way, Roger, I agree with you. I just see so much corruption by other Democrats that they don't prosecute. To me, I think the final point was he would at least put out rhetoric they didn't like. But regardless, I don't even follow New York politics much. But as you said, it's all hidden in plain view. Why was he so wild about creating new departments and putting his family as heads of them, and they don't even show up to work? Why is he so full of hubris?
I think he's an extraordinarily arrogant guy. He may be, by the way, the best dressed mayor since Jimmy Walker, the most corrupt mayor since William O'Dwyer, the most incompetent mayor since Bill de Blasio. But they call him the man with no plan. I mean, he has no plan for New York City. And he has been presiding over the decline of the city. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that New Yorkers may get somebody actually worse.
I was about to say, is he even worse than the last guy? Because I know a bunch of New York senior police, they thought they were hoping Adams would actually be better, but now they hate him. But now they're going to get somebody even worse. Who do you think they'll get?
Well, the city advocate is a guy named Jumaine Williams, but there's a Hispanic woman city council member whose name escapes me at the moment who is potentially a strong candidate. Remember, if you have a 9 or 10 person race that's bipartisan, then somebody could become mayor, you know, with 22% of the vote.
Yeah, that's how the left stays in power in Europe and Canada. So moving on from that. People wanted to know, and you're the expert. I stand corrected here. So, Roger, expanding on this, what do you make of the massive bombshell in Congress by the DOJ Solicitor General that indeed the current director and a bunch of senior FBI have lied and said no federal agents, informants, as if they wouldn't be at that one spot on this giant date? Now we know it's them breaking in. The cops fake arrest them, take their handcuffs off, high-five them. We have all of that. I mean, this is a huge deal. It trended top of X, but where's the corporate media? They don't want to talk about it. Total vindication on January 6th, which they both tried to set Trump, you, and I up on.
You're absolutely right, Alex. In fact, but the real question here is the inspector general. If you look at his report on Russian collusion, and then you compare it even to John Durham's report, which I think was missing a lot, but the inspector general missed a lot of key misconduct by prosecutors in that matter. The real question here is, why is his January 6th report taking so long? Why, what he really said yesterday is, he's going to release it after the election. Why after the election? Why is this taking so long? What is he hiding? Yesterday, when he was asked point blank how many FBI agents were in the crowd, undercover FBI agents or others in law enforcement were in the crowd, he just simply refused to answer the question. I don't know what's taking so long.
Though I've got a bunch of testimony. They did admit, indeed, they were there. And you've got this other senior agent who they tried to get rid of talking about how he saw it, reported it, and then they tried to get rid of him. So, they've got to be concerned.
This guy's a lifer. He's part of the establishment. His previous investigations into Russian collusion, as I say, fell short. I think it's outrageous that he's not going to issue his report until after the election.
No, I agree. But larger than that, they admitted that the feds have destroyed most of the videotapes. That's why they can't even release them. So they've destroyed evidence. Expoliation.
Yeah, this has been a huge problem. Look, the January 6th committee hearings were a farce. They used selectively edited, in some case, AI-enhanced videos. They suborned perjury by a number of the witnesses. And then they erased all the evidence of their crimes behind them, yet they continue to insist that the conclusions they reached were accurate. I'm very disappointed in Speaker Johnson because he should have appointed a committee to study the January 6th committee and report to the American people what actually happened. But then again, this is the same guy who folded 2 days ago on attaching the SAVE Act, which would have basically said you have to be an American citizen to vote, folks, from the budgeting process, which is kind of the last piece of leverage that he had. Now he turns around and he introduces a bill with that requirement, a bill that has zero chance of passing the U.S. Senate before the next election. I've tried to give the speaker every benefit of the doubt, but he's just not a fighter. The problem here, as you know, Alex, it's not the crazy left-wing Marxist Democrats. We know what their agenda is. Our problem are the feckless, gutless, weak-kneed, lily-livered, white wine swelling country club establishment Republicans who just never want to fight. They never want to fight. That's our number one problem.
Roger, shifting gears here, because I don't want to just cover these side issues that are still very important. I want to get to the heart of the matter, just in the larger situation of 39 days out for the most important election in world history. I've got a lot of polls here, but you're good at looking at them all. I had the Rasmussen head pollster on last week. He said Trump is surging in the battleground states. He said landslide with fraud in 2016, which is a lot to have the head pollster say. You know, there's evidence of that, but Trump was able to make it past it because of such a landslide. Then there wasn't as big a landslide, something you said people were too confident in 2000, so he did win, but barely so they could steal it. He's saying he thinks that the evidence shows from everything he's looking at that it's the biggest landslide yet and that they can't overpower it. That's why they've tried to kill Trump, obviously, twice that we know of. And then we've got Zuckerberg saying he's a libertarian now, not a Democrat. He wants to be nice to Republicans. That's a rat leaving the sinking ship. We've got new polls out saying that these are the best polls yet for Trump. That's a town hall article about that. I don't want to be overconfident here like you warned 4 years ago, but, man, this is looking strong.
Look, Alex, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not predicting a big win, but I am saying I think the race is moving towards President Trump for two reasons. One, he's been very focused and very disciplined. Both his advertising in the swing states, which not all of us get to see, has really focused on the key issue of the economy, the key issue of inflation, the key issue of war, and the fact that they're moving us closer and closer to World War III. Those ads have been extraordinarily effective. And the race does appear to me to be moving inexorably towards the president. I'm feeling better and better about the race. I don't want to jinx it. No, it's not going to be a landslide. I don't agree with that. But I do think that Donald Trump supporters are more loyal. They're more intense. Guys like Charlie Kirk, guys like Cliff Maloney, guys like Scott Pressler, these guys have done heroic voter registration drives in the swing states, particularly Pennsylvania, which I think is going to be crucial. We are not getting outworked on the ground, not this time, not at all. I think the Trump campaign has been extraordinarily well run. Their advertising and their messaging in the key markets. Remember, we know today how Utah is going to vote. We know today how Massachusetts is going to vote. This will come down to be 60 counties in about seven states that are going to turn, going to determine the outcome. And the other thing that's going on here is people are figuring out that there is no there with Kamala Harris. The more they risk putting her out for individual interviews, the more the voters learn that she has no substance. It doesn't appear to me, based on the interview I saw yesterday, that she knows what a tariff is. I'm not sure she knows what a tariff is.
I want to play you a few clips here that are just stunning. Here's a short one. Biden claims Kamala for policy failures of the past 4 years. And then we've got Kamala saying that we've got to stop the policies the last 4 years. That's clip 15. So play clip 1 and 15 back to back. These are just extraordinary.
And as vice president, there wasn't a single thing that I did that she couldn't do. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to delegate her responsibility on everything from foreign policy to domestic policy.
We just need to move past the failed policies that we have proven don't work.
And then I've got more of this from them. This is like her being the best border czar ever, then she's not the border czar, now she was the best ever, then she says she built the wall. Now he's saying, you know, she was in charge of everything. As you warn, they're trying to make her more and more presidential, maybe even remove Biden and then have her in there as the first female president, basically, you know, appointed as a major gimmick. What's your view on that now?
You know, I think last week, for example, when Joe Biden put on a Trump cap, was photographed doing it, when he posed with a bunch of school kids wearing Trump T-shirts. When you saw that entire interview on The View, I think he's still very angry about being forced out of this race. When he was asked about why he got out, he basically said, well, you know, my polling wasn't all that bad. It was about the same as hers is today. I thought I could win. Most of the folks I trust thought I could win. But there were some in the Democrat Party that were concerned that I couldn't win. This guy is very unhappy about being forced out. He knows exactly what he's doing. He didn't put on that hat because it was some kind of a mental slip. He knows exactly what he's doing. This is his way of sticking it to Kamala Harris and Barack Obama, who forced him out. I think the reports by Seymour Hersh, the Pulitzer Prize-winning former New York Times reporter, who said that they threatened him with the 25th Amendment to force him out of the race, are accurate. And as we've talked about on this show, I still think it's possible as they start looking at deteriorating poll numbers and Trump beginning to inexorably gain, that they may think that elevating her to the presidency is the only way to win this race, trying to make her a historic figure, even though she has no substance. I still don't rule out the fact that they may yet remove him under the 25th Amendment, which simply requires the acquiescence of the vice president, a majority of the cabinet, and then he would have to be sustained in the Congress, which, of course, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi can most likely deliver. So he's a problem for them. Look what they did to him. The sitting president of the United States goes to his final Democrat National Convention. They push his address out of primetime on the first night, and then they tell him to get out of town. He's not even there when his own vice president is nominated for president. He got 17 million votes. Alex, he got 71% of the vote in the Democrat primaries and caucuses. No one voted to nominate her, yet they're whining constantly about democracy.
Well, we've all got to be energized. Pray for Trump. He's stronger than ever, and we've just really got to have him protected. I know Trump's taking things seriously now, canceling some events. And this is a critical time. RogerStoneZone.com. People can find all your great shows and books, everything you do there, StoneZone.com. Roger, we'll talk to you soon.
Alex, God bless you. Great to be with you. And look, in the fight to save InfoWars, there's nothing more important. The idea they would try to steal your intellectual property, steal real...
Hold on, Roger. Hold on. I meant to ask you about this. Do five more minutes, since I didn't want to raise my own issues here, but it's bigger than me, and it's setting a precedent. Stay there. We'll come right back to you and have you speak for 5 minutes on it. Then I'm in all the news I haven't hit yet and so much more. Please stay with us. Robert J. O'Neill is... probably the most famous Navy SEAL in history. The guy that was killed bin Laden, all of it. And he is really upset about what's going on in the government, the world today. And in his own words, has kind of woken up to just how corrupt things are. I interviewed him via Skype a few months ago, but I really look forward to him being here in person. Just got a chance to meet him. Really good guy. And so we're going to cover the waterfront from his interesting perspective and experiences coming up. But Roger, I was going to raise my case, but there was so much more important stuff I didn't. But their lawfare against me, they've admitted on CNN, MSNBC, and in Congress, as you know, we've been attacked by the same people, same law firms who, after Trump ran all this, the FBI got caught, CIA running it. They admitted it in court when it got brought up, that they created the whole thing and had me found guilty and the rest of it. And then they say they're liquidating InfoWars to pay the families. We offered to settle with them. I knew they wouldn't do it. My lawyers are like, okay, they want $70 million. That'd be any profit for, you know, 10 years. I said, I never made that much money. I said, fine, they won't do it. They went, funny, it's $90 million now, and they want you to be against the Second Amendment. And I said, yeah, tell them what else they want. Well, they've got a long list. They wanted me to work for them and lie, and they were dumb enough to even do it outside of a settlement meeting. And they've also been on the courthouse steps saying, we want him off the air. We don't want money. It's not the families. I didn't do anything to these people. I barely even ever talked about them. The internet didn't believe it happened. They dredged up stuff that was super old, blew it up proportions. That's one thing my guests didn't want to get into. I never get into it. They introduced 22 minutes of me from years before when they sued me 6-7 years ago. And I'm just recapping that for listeners, everybody watching. And then it's all over the news. It trended top of X for 2 days. Judge approves sending Alex Jones InfoWars to the chopping block. New Republic, you know, New York Times, judge to approve auctions liquidizing Alex Jones's InfoWars. Tragic. InfoWars be liquidated and auctioned off to help pay the Sandy Hook families. Not true. Alex Jones InfoWars likely to be shut down in months. Subheadline here. The conspiracy theorist website is nearing total collapse after a devastating court ruling. No, let me tell the globalists this, and I'll go to Roger. And it's God. It's not me. It's the listeners that God works through. We are reaching, and I hate to even, because when I do put the numbers out, even the enemy focuses and attacks us more and does more stuff, that, you know, bot attacks and all of it. But the listeners need to know their success. We've been reaching, conservatively, with actual people clicking and watching, the live show, wait for it, 200 million people are actually clicking and watching a week, the main feeds. You add our feeds and X and some things, Rumble, 200 million. One week, a couple weeks ago, we had like 400 million. InfoWars is getting record traffic. And if they think shutting this down, that's like the final thing after all the stuff when they strike down Obi-Wan Kenobi. But they want that symbol and to say, look, we got him. He's pathetic. And take some clip out of context where I've been on air 15 hours and sort of crying, talking about how much I love this country, that I was mad that they're going to shut this down, as if this building, all that matters is the crew. And we've got now, as you know, you've been, I don't want to give it out yet because this is crazy. But I've had very prominent household names call me because I hadn't even reached out to them yesterday. And today you've had very well-known billionaires call you that are like well-known. And I almost don't even want to talk about this, but it's like the left takes all of our victories and turns them into defeats. It's like indicting Trump and false convictions and trying to kill him. And they're making jokes. Whoopi Goldberg said we need to smash him like a bug yesterday. They just don't get it. The people are waking up and see through them. Roger, you wanted to say something about that. I'm ranting. Go ahead.
Alex, I thought you were extraordinarily effective yesterday when you laid out the truth about this bankruptcy. If you go all the way back to my book, The Making of the President 2016, How Donald Trump Sparked an American Revolution, I understand the importance of InfoWars as a beacon of the truth, as a beacon of truthful information. Therefore, I would like to do whatever I possibly can to ensure, if possible, that InfoWars survives. Now, I'm a politico. I'm not a businessman. I don't pretend to understand the bankruptcy process. But I threw out on X that I would like to put together a group to try to save InfoWars. I'm also outraged by the fact that they're trying to steal your intellectual property. They don't want you to be real Alex Jones anymore. They don't want you to have the Alex Jones show, say, on X, which you could mount tomorrow and have millions and millions of views.
By the way, let me just interrupt you and I'll stop interrupting. Guys, pull up. It's on Reuters AP. Sandy Hook Families means FBI, CIA. That's who runs it. Want real Alex Jones and the name Alex Jones. That's not in law. That's insane. But if I don't legally fight that, which I've hired big law firms to do, they will then win and have that precedence. When you said that, people don't believe me when I say that. There's Reuters. They're literally explaining to people what a big deal that is.
It's outrageous. That has no precedence. You are Alex Jones. I think you've been Alex Jones since you were born. They don't want you to be able to use your own name. Think about that for a moment. So, look, what really amazed me is the outpouring of people, some of them extraordinarily wealthy, some of them wealthy but not mega wealthy. Other people who just said, I want to help. How can I help? It's been unbelievable. I'm talking to others. I'm talking to experts. I don't know what's going to happen here because, as I say, I'm a politico, not a businessman. But I'm going to try, at least, to do whatever I possibly can to preserve InfoWars because I think it's that important. And beyond that, I'm not ready to say anything else because I'm still learning the process. But look, Alex, I remember way back when lawyers that you retained to represent you actually tried to talk you into taking bribes from the Russians, which you wisely went immediately reported to the FBI. So you've been targeted. You're a warrior. I know what you and your family have been through. Why? Because me and my family have been through the entire same thing. We don't talk about that much because this fight is not about us. It's really not about us. It's about the truth. We are winning, and they know we're winning. And you notice they want to shut InfoWars down before the election. Why would that possibly be? So, Alex, God bless you for continuing the fight. God bless you for standing up. You know, there have been times when I've been down, when I've been depressed, you bucked me up by saying, look, knock it off. You're a warrior. Well, Alex, you're a warrior. And in the end, we're going to win this fight for truth.
Absolutely. One last question. Roger, we don't want to war game bad things, but we have to. If they're able to steal the election from Trump, everybody's asking me, what do we do? Well, I know this. We're not violent. They're going to try to stage a new January 6th. That will even hurt them more down the road. I don't want to go that way. I want to try to turn the country around. It's not like Trump's going to be handed some easy task. Things are already disintegrating. So, and I want him to win. But if they're able to steal the election, or God forbid they're able to kill Trump, we need to start wargaming that. What is your, from your gravitas, some of your first thoughts?
Well, Alex, look, I learned in politics a long time ago not to answer hypothetical questions. I think Donald Trump is going to win. I think he's on a winning trajectory. I think he is gaining inexorably, slowly gaining. We have two major problems. We both know what they are. The distortions of the mainstream media, who continue to amplify the claims, for example, that he will sign a federal abortion ban, which is not his position, that he'll do away with IVF, fertility drinks, not his position. That he will do away with birth control for women. That is not his position. That he will cut Social Security benefits. That has never been and is not his position. But the mainstream media, they play along and they promulgate these lies. And then the other giant issue, which we both understand, which is censorship. Yes, thank God for Elon Musk. Thank God for the fact that X, formerly known as Twitter, has become a free speech platform. Thank God for the great folks at Rumble. But let's not pretend that Facebook is suddenly going to be fair. And the fact that Mark Zuckerberg overnight has decided that he's a libertarian Republican, please, somebody, give me a break. I'm banned for life on Facebook, still am. There's a bunch of Roger Stones over there. Some of them are selling crypto. They're not me, folks. Please don't send them money. Please don't even talk to them. They are not me. I think censorship continues to be a huge problem here.
Well, that's one of the worst parts when you're kicked off all these platforms is they get to pose as you and lie about you and you can't respond, so they steal your identity. And that's what they want to do. They filed in court saying, we own Alex Jones. Like, I signed some 360 deal like Prince, so I'd be the artist formerly known as Prince. I've always said my show's free to air. My films were always free to the public. They can't own my name. That's in the law, but they're trying. And if I don't oppose it with lawyers and briefs, they will do it. And they say they're going to litigate. If they're able to get InfoWars, they're going to try to take all our material down everywhere. That's the plan, but it's not going to work. It's a Streisand effect all the way. Roger Stone, thank you so much for the time. StoneZone.com.
God bless you, Alex. Look, we're praying not only for the survival of internet, of InfoWars, but we're praying for victory and above all for the protection of Donald Trump. Because I, as I've said here, I don't rule out yet another attempt on his life. I pray that I'm wrong. But I think they are increasingly apoplectic and hysterical about the fact that he is on a winning trajectory. Thanks for having me here today, Alex. God bless you.
Thank you, Roger. Talk to you soon. All right. I've got a bunch of news that's important that I want to hit. There's so much of it. I could do a five-hour show easily. We got this huge guest coming in studio. But I saw this clip this morning when Elon Musk posted on X, also posted it at Real Alex Jones. I think you should go get it. You should share it. I think this is one of the best clips, not a perfect clip. It's titled A Voter. I don't know his name because they copied it from Instagram, I think. But we're going to find out if this black guy isn't getting on. There's so many just regular people that are popping up and going super viral who are just common sense and now putting, you know, evidence out that's just amazing. But this is a very important clip. Again, it's on my X account. Elon tweeted it today as well. Go get it. It's titled A Voter Who Explains How He Realized That Donald Trump Was Not Racist When He Actually Debunked for Himself the Fine People hoax and more. This is a really powerful 6-minute clip, and particularly black folks that, you know, even though 50% of black males are going to vote for Trump, almost 40% of females, that's like triple or more whatever Republicans ever got. Black folks are really, everybody's figuring this out, but black folks at the fastest rate that they've been completely lied to. And the truth is, Donald Trump has a long history of actually helping black people. And that's why he was so loved by the black community in New York and across the country. And that's been a big frustration for Roger Stone, who I want to have back soon, because his big outreach in 2016 and in 2020 as well, but he got mad that the campaign didn't push it enough, was outreach to the black community about what Donald Trump's really done. It would take 10 hours to show it all or even try to figure out, you know, what he's done. But it's a particular thing with Trump where he's just given black people free loans. Where he, you know, free houses and stuff when they're a good worker. And his dad did stuff like this, but not just for black folks, white people too. But, and they always did it without anybody knowing about it. So for every story we know about, there are hundreds, like the one last week of where the guy, Trump's you know, going to school in like the sixth grade with this other kid, and his dad dies of a heart attack, and Trump just pays all three kids' tuition for the rest of their school, the equivalent of hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, that was Trump's dad. I mean, so Trump's super hard-nosed with powerful businessmen and big groups and dominates them. But when it comes to just actual, real, on-the-ground charity, when people need it, he's just amazing. But more importantly, he did mentorships with black organizations to teach black folks how to use corporations and not pay as many taxes legally. Some of the, you think the liberal black leaders want blacks knowing how to actually get successful? No, they want to keep you under their control. Let's go ahead and roll this important clip.
I made a video the other day asking people when was the moment that they came to the conclusion Donald Trump is racist. A lot of people said Essential Part 5. We'll talk about that in another video. For me personally, it was the Very Fine People on Both Sides thing.
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
I remember seeing that clip and feeling like, wow, maybe he is racist. And I just happened to come across this video on YouTube. It basically said that the clip was edited and that I should go back and watch the entire clip. So I watched the entire thing. It got to that point where he says very fine people on both sides. And I'm like, see, that's exactly what I knew he said.
By the way,
that
pause.
There's no point in me even.
Back it up 10 seconds. I don't mean to interrupt this, but I got to make this point. Because if I make it to the end, people won't remember what he was saying right here. Listen to what he's saying. He saw a clip on YouTube that was saying, go for yourself and find the real clip of what he said. Now, that sounds simple, right? But with all the censorship, with stories like that, if you tried to expose that anywhere else than InfoWars or Rumble before X got taken over, it got taken down. They wouldn't even on Google for a couple months after Trump got shot in Butler say there was an assassination attempt or say it was true. Google said it wasn't true. And then I had ChatGPT on 2 weeks ago, interviewed it, and it said Trump didn't get shot because Google said he did. So that's how crazy this is. And how simple is it to be able to show somebody a full clip or show you Kamala saying I'm going to ban fracking and saying she never said it and Trump's a liar, or Kamala saying I'm going to ban all semi-autos, later saying Trump, you're a liar in the debate. Everything she said was a lie. Or I never wanted to open the border. She said again yesterday, I'm going to totally legalize all the illegals. So what they can't stand is us showing you in context what they're doing. Go back to the clip.
and that I should go back and watch the entire clip. So I watched the entire thing. It got to that point where he says very fine people on both sides. And I'm like, see, that's exactly, I knew he said that. There's no point in me even continuing to watch this. And then it goes on and it gets to the part where he's like,
and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally.
So he said he wasn't talking about the neo-Nazis and white supremacists. Why would they show me part of the story and make me feel like this? Even in the presidential debate against Joe Biden, he brought up the very fine people thing.
He said, I think they're fine people on both sides. What American president would ever say Nazis coming out of fields carrying torches, singing the same anti-Semitic bile, carrying swastikas, were fine people?
Kamala Harris just brought it up on the recent debate.
Let's remember Charlottesville, where there was a mob of people carrying tiki torches, spewing anti-Semitic hate. And what did the president then at the time say? There were fine people on each side.
People are still saying it, even though it's been debunked. Snopes just added this shit in 2024 that was a lie. It supposedly said in 2017, he dropped out of a presidential race because white supremacists joined his same party.
I'm not going to be running. The party is, as you know, self-destructing.
When you say the party is self-destructing, what do you see as the biggest problem with the Reform Party right now?
Well, you've got David Duke just joined. A bigot, a racist, a problem. I mean, this is not exactly the people you want in your party.
Then you find that clip of him with Jesse Jackson.
Beyond that, in terms of reaching out and being inclusive, he's done that too. And created for many people a comfort zone when I ran for the presidency in 84 and 88. And many others thought it was either laughable or something to avoid. He came to our business meeting here in New York because he has this sense of the curious and a will to risk to make things better. And so aside from all of his style and his pizzazz, he's a serious person who's an effective builder of building the builder people. Last year, he was a part of our workshop, of our panel workshop on what are the challenges and opportunities. And so this, a year later, Donald Trump, for a few minutes, challenges and opportunities to embrace the underserved communities. Donald Trump.
Well, it is an honor to be here.
You see the clip with him on The View, and him and Whoopi Goldberg, she's saying that they're friends.
Well, I don't think I'm going to get Whoopi's vote.
And she likes me. She even put me in a movie. She put me in a movie,
yes,
right?
A long time ago.
So
how much did I charge? Nothing.
Like they say in the
Godfather. It was a free movie.
People love this guy. Like Oprah saying he should run for president.
You have a vice presidential candidate in mind?
Well, I really haven't gotten quite there yet. I love Oprah. Oprah would always be my first choice.
Oprah,
your competitor, right?
Oprah's a competitor.
You know what? I'll tell you, she's really a great woman, though. She is a terrific woman. She's somebody that's very special.
And again, for radio listeners, he pauses and shows articles to back it up.
Judge Joe Brown said,
I've talked to a number of black entrepreneurs who back in the late 80s and 90s, where early 90s, were trying to get financing. They couldn't. Somebody told them to go check with Donald Trump. So they come back and tell me they got a loan from Donald Trump. He gave him a term loan. Show up with the interest and the principal, one check. But they had to go see him personally. They independently relate this tale that when they saw him, he said, this is what you're supposed to pay me? This is our agreement? Said, yeah. And then tore the check up, shook their hands, and congratulations. Now run your business.
And this was when?
This was back in the 90s.
Waka Flocka talks about how he showed him how to increase his wealth.
Get a C Corp to run an LLC. If you want to make it even deeper, go get a trust fund to run a corp that runs the LLC. You want to get even deeper, own two trust funds for your business and your person to run that trust that runs all the business. It can get deep, my God.
Absolutely.
And Donald Trump actually showed me that method.
People will say that they want truth, but when you try to present them with information that goes against their beliefs of Donald Trump, they act like this.
He's condemned white supremacy over 20 times.
Oh, yes, man. Could you tell me when?
Yeah, absolutely. Would you like to see a video of a montage of 20 times that he's done it?
Oh, actually, no. I'm more interested in walking up in
there. But how are we going to learn if we don't challenge our ideas? I mean, you just made a statement that is actually inaccurate, and I can show you video evidence of why it is. I mean, would you like to see that?
No, thank you.
He's condemned white supremacy and the KKK over 20 times.
Over 20 times?
Yeah.
Do you have him right here? Can I listen to it?
Absolutely, you can. Let me pull it up for you right now.
All
right.
What's that?
By the way, I'm James. How's your day going, man?
It'd be a lot better if you guys were wearing masks.
We can socially distance.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Wait. You don't want to see the examples? I have 20 examples right here.
He is a white supremacist.
It's just like Yuri said.
Exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, when a military boot crashes his balls, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization.
The populace versus the establishment. Whatever they do to the populist candidate, they're doing to you. When you assist the establishment in crushing the populist candidate, they're going to turn around and do it to you next. Whatever rules that they broke to get at him that you cheered on because you were so anti him, those rules were broken so that they can get your consent. And now that they've used your hatred to build consent to break the rules, now they can turn that same attack towards you. And you've yayed and amended it into existence. If you previously believed that Trump was racist and then something changed your mind, I'd like to know what was that moment. Thank you for watching again. Like I said, I appreciate your time and attention because you can't get it back. Leave whatever opinions that you want in the comments, and I'll see you on the next one. Peace.
All right, Elon Musk put that out last night. It had like 50 million views this morning. It's probably got 80 million now. I don't know. I also put it on my X if you want to boost it. I don't know who that black guy is, but we're going to find out. I'm going to get him on. That guy on TikTok, and I guess he's on Instagram too, is a natural. He knows what he's talking about. He laid it all out great. I can't do it that good. And I've always said that's when the New World Order is in trouble, folks. When the average people that just want to be left alone start going out and researching, it's game over. And we've reached that point. That's why the New World Order is so dangerous right now. All right, we've got our special guest coming up. And I'm going to do a little bit after he leaves us into the fourth hour on the military developments with Russia, changing their nuclear doctrine to bomb, to nuke the West if any Western-made heavy weapons bomb them. That's just so dangerous. And now NATO's wargaming for nuclear war that they say could be imminent. They're doing COG drills in Washington. The end of the empire is here. And they're playing chicken with the world and saying Putin won't cross red lines if they cross his lines. They crossed Putin's line in Syria. He went in. They crossed it in Ukraine. Whether you like that or not, I think it's bad that Putin did that. And I went on national Russian TV and told him that. And now the word is, oh, he's bluffing. The RAND Corporation's own doctrine was, don't ever do this. And that's the Pentagon doctrine until a year ago. Now they've changed it. Remember, Biden said, we can't send them Abrams tanks and F-16s. That's World War III on the threat escalation ladder of the RAND Corporation, the Pentagon. It's a probability of nuclear war if they keep following this and they keep escalating. So this is extremely dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. And if you just talk directly to the Russians, they will listen. And I've never worked for the Russians, never been there, but I go on Japanese TV, British TV, you name it. But I mean, I go on their national shows and tell them what I really think. And openly say stuff that I don't agree with Putin. And nobody gets Victor boot on. Nobody gets these guests. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying you can directly talk to these people. And we need to talk to them. And there's been years since the hotline's been used to even talk to Putin. That's insane. We need a Kennedy on the line de-escalating this, and Trump will do that. All right, I'm going to break. Big guest coming up. Please remember, they're trying to shut us down. The sponsors are perfect because they're supporting InfoWars. Hopefully, if that gets bought and saved. But regardless, we need these sponsors to be escalating and bigger with what they can support if we've got a boom, set up something new with somebody else. And I don't want to divide my forces. I'm not spending a bunch of time on that right now. I'm trying to save InfoWars. But the sponsors are key, so because they're supporting me so I can fight the legal battles. Free speech doesn't pay for that. I have to pay for defending InfoWars and myself. I need support. I need you to go right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com, the top makers of Patriot T-shirts, over 50 designs, made in America, all of the incredible ball caps. Go there as a support. Get a great shirt. Get a great T-shirt. Buy a couple of them. We're getting at it every day. Go to our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, right now. Go to my other sponsor, my dad's supplement company, drjonesnaturals.com, drjonesnaturals.com, and Vitamin Mineral Fusion's 40% off right now, our best seller at InfoWarsStore.com. Toward a very critical moment, I'm calling for your aid. Great products. Make the decision now. Fund the tip of the spear. We can't do it without you. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We'll be right back.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
We're good. 20-plus million people dead from those shots. Well, truth's coming out about you and Fauci. How does it feel to kill more people than Hitler?
You're writing some folk songs about it?
Go ahead.
Throw some folk songs.
You'll never get away with what you did, your bioweapon. You're in a lot of trouble. Nuremberg 2 is coming.
What a character. Old Alex Jones there. I like the initial moment where he's like, oh, hello, would you like an autograph or perhaps a tablet or a booster shot? And, oh, no, it's Alex Jones. This is a nightmare.
Do you know Sam Altman, the head of OpenAI? He's always kind of said, I'm not doing this for money. I don't make any money. And they just busted him in a $4 million Koenigsegg. See if you can find that car. Oh, I don't need money. But me, money? I'm not even interested in money. He's driving around a $4 million Koenigsegg. God, there he is. Hi, busted.
Hey, bro.
Hey, bro. I think you like money.
You have a $4 million car, and you're involved in artificial intelligence? Like, you don't buy one of those unless you really want to get rich.
Yeah. DrJonesNaturals.com. They ship within a day, your order coming in, unless you order on Sunday. They've got all the great products, like the super organic multivitamin and the fiber greens and the iodine. And the nano silver toothpaste and the wound gel and the immune gargle and the rocket rest and the top brain and the kava chill and the turmeric toothpaste and just it's and the tooth whitening with no fluoride, with all the essential oils. It's all there at drjonesnaturals.com. And my dad will be a sponsor, whatever happens to InfoWars. That is something separate from this operation. So it's great products. You should get anyways. But if you support us and you like what we're doing and you want to keep us on the air and be in the center of the fight, when the globalists, the Democrats, and the CIA and the deep state, above all, want us off the air, well, ladies and gentlemen, then you should support our sponsor, drjonesnaturals.com, drjonesnaturals.com.
I made a video the other day asking people, when was the moment?
The British are coming. The British are coming. Now the ride of Paul Revere set the nation on its ear. And the shot at Lexington heard round the world. When the British fired in the early dawn, the War of Independence had begun. The die was cast, the rebel flag unfurled. And on to Concord marched the foe to seize the arsenal there, you know. Waking folks, searching all around. Till our militia stopped them in their tracks. At the old North Bridge, we turned them back and chased those redcoats back to Boston town. And the shout heard around the world was the start of the revolution. The minute men were ready on the move. Take your powder, take your gun, report to General Washington. Hurry, men, there's not an hour to lose.
It happened that they had planned, the British was ever to come over here, that they'd put a light up in this high church steeple. And Paul went down there to look. And sure enough, there was the light burning brighter than day. Well, Paul, he jumped on his old horse and he lit out. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew he had to go somewhere. Oh, I wish you could have seen it. That old horse with his ears laid back and his nostrils wide open, sucking in wind like a jet engine, feet pounding on them cobblestones, striking off sparks. Paul holding on for dear life and hollering at the top of his lungs. He says, the British is coming, the British is coming. Get you a gun, we gonna have us a revolution. And them farmers come a-piling out of the hay like bees out of a beehive. Minutemen, they's called.
What's Minutemen?
Minutemen? There's fellas that had to be ready at a minute's notice. And when Paul comes screeching down the road that way, they grab their guns and hid out behind the weeds and walls and trees and everywhere. And when the British come prancing along, all dressed up in their red suits, they let them have it. It was a sight to see. And then it happened.
They fired the gun.
They fired the gun. And the shot was so loud, it was heard clear around the world.
Oh, get out.
It's a fact. That's the way this country started.
Well, he's a number one New York Times best-selling author. The operator firing the shot that kills Osama bin Laden and many years as a SEAL team warrior, Robert O'Neill, is here with us. You can find his book everywhere. You can find his website as well at robertjoneill.com and on X at MC Hooray. And so be sure and check all of that out. Well, I'm glad you're here. It was great having you on via a video link a few months ago. So much has happened. They just tried to kill Trump, and you said you had a lot of suspicions and concern as a well-trained sniper. We'll obviously get into that today. We'll get into the Cheney family and why we went to war. You've also got a lawsuit. But can't get too much of that. Also, you've got a different view than me on Building 7. I want to hear that and so much more with Robert J. O'Neill. But first off, you know, as a father, as a patriot, just in general, you've talked about on the show, but also I've seen on other shows, your awakening or the process of seeing things from so many angles, where you're at about the state of the U.S. government right now and not being as trusting as you once were. So just spend a few minutes, because you're a polite guy, but you know, host a while and just give us your overall view. And let's say you had 5-10 minutes to talk to, you know, 10 million people, what you'd say to them.
Well, first of all, thanks, Alex, for having me. It's great to be here in studio. I'm concerned now because I've just had my fourth daughter. She's 7 months old. And so that's four little girls that are growing up in this country. And I'm a big believer in, like, do what you want as an adult. But as I see what's happening in this country, everything's being taken away from them. Like, I don't want to send my youngest daughter to a place where they're gonna tell her she might just be wrong. She might be a boy. She might do whatever. And I don't need the government coming forward and telling me I can or can't raise my child.
The system for you, the system purposely trying to mislead the little ones, that was Jesus's big beef.
Yeah, well, I mean, I live in New York too, and you know, it's a big liberal place, and I'm a big believer in do what you want, but I will not stand by and watch. I'm not sending my daughter to school. I'm not sending her to a public school. I might send her to a Catholic private school, but I'm going to homeschool her myself, simply because I really believe that the nuclear family is what makes the country great, and it doesn't need. I don't need some elected official to come in and tell you that you're doing it wrong or you're doing it right. They shouldn't be a part of it anyway. So that's kind of why, you know, I'm raising my voice for just the simplicity of school. Like, there's absolutely no reason that the school system or the teachers' unions or the government or anybody should come in and tell us that we're useful idiots and we're going to raise your family that way.
That's a better question for me to ask, because I gave you a long babble and you're giving a great answer, even though it was probably hard to understand. You weren't really being political, because obviously you're famous for many years and I've seen you all over the place, until I would say the last however many years it's been. What triggered you to really get active in that? And I think you're saying they're coming for the kids.
They're coming for the kids. And so my three older daughters, I've got one who's in art school, one who's in public college, and then one's in a private school. And it's like I joke with them, like, I've got my artist, my communist, and my Catholic. And it was a joke at first, but now it's like, you know what? No, I don't need the government coming in and telling us what we can or can't do. And it's just, and just the way
that. And maybe the new baby's triggered you.
Well, the new baby, yeah. The new baby, I'm going to raise her the way I want to. But I mean, even simply being at home with her, watching her deal with her parents as opposed to dealing with a babysitter or daycare. Like, my new daughter is just happy to be happy. And that's what I want. That's what we all should do. And I think a lot of the problems with this country is, even the feminists, like, they want to go out and get jobs, but which is fine, but they want to put their family secondary.
They act like children isn't the ultimate mission.
It should be. And that's what makes the country great, is the nuclear family, a father and a mother at home. And if you can't do it, you can't do it. But I hate, like, my daughter at home, she doesn't get sad because we bring her to daycare. And I don't want to do that. I want to raise her as an American, as an adult, as a dad. And I think that everyone should be able to do that. Bringing them to a public school just to teach them that just because you're having a bad day with acne or whatever, you might just be a boy. Not a chance in hell. If my daughter comes to me and says, hey, I think I'm a boy, I'm like, no, actually, no, you're not. You're a girl, and that's it. Like, we're not going to have that conversation. And even here in Texas, where the government comes in and says, well, we're going to take your kid from you and move him to California, that's nonsense. And the government shouldn't be able to do that. And it kind of upsets me that the government can just come in here and say, well, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to raise your kids, and just line them up when the bell goes off. Get in line. Be good. Don't go against the government, which is nonsense.
I know you're an informed guy, but people that may not know, the Tavistock Institute in the 60s developed the plan. Dr. Michael Kaufman got the documents that were internal. It's actually in one of the expanded endgames we put out. I think it's an endgame 2.0, but in that we show the documents. In the 70s, they said, we're going to have images of strong men being bad. All the father figures will be idiots. And anybody that's watched TV goes, every father figure is basically an idiot in all the modern stuff since the 80s. And we're going to break up the nuclear family because we want to be able to control everybody and basically brainwash people, and the family's the key institution. So this has been a public operation. And the Tavistock Institute, MI6, deployed this in universities in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and then made it about, oh, trans people are committing suicide at a high rate. We've got to empower them. But really, it's them going and brainwashing kids, mainly autistic, telling them they're this new identity, and a kid wants to role play. The state secretly comes in, forms a relationship, and this is all over the world now. These big foundations come in and then fast-track them to be medicalized and to be sterilized either chemically or with surgery, and it destroys parental rights, so they're going right to the end game. You talk about Texas cases you just mentioned, mm-hmm. where they take the little boy who doesn't even want to be a girl, but say he is, and then the court sides to do that as if it's some right. They turn a horrible mind control operation that's literally out of the bowels of MKUltra-style things and do this. So I attack it. Almost no one does this. They're doing it more, but I've been attacking it for 15 years as it being a depopulation operation. And I think that's the key for people, instead of debating how moral it is and let's love these kids, that this is a larger scientific operation.
I think that's nonsense. I think the way that it comes in is when the government gets involved, especially with NGOs. I think the way that it started, NGOs came in and initially started off with gay marriage, which is great. If you're an adult, you want to marry a dude, you're a dude, fine, whatever. But they came in with all this money, and all of a sudden, gay marriage is there. Cool. They didn't say, well, I guess we're done with that. Then they went on to trans, because there's so many donors, there's so much stuff coming in that they're not just going to say, okay, we're done with that. Then they move on to the trans, they move on to everything else.
It's a business plan.
All you got to do is follow the money. And I know we hear that all the time, but it's
we've seen the heads of medical schools saying we're going to make $30,000 per kid just with the surgeries.
No, it's because somebody is making money off the vaccines. They're making money off whatever nonsense they're trying to pull. And they're never going to not say, okay, we're just done. They're going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And again, if you're 18 and up and you're an adult, do what you want. But once they start coming for the kids, and that's all they're doing, because the communists told us a long, long time ago, they're going to come for the kids. They're going to come for the school. They're going to come for the entertainment. They're going to come for the media. And they've taken all of it. I mean, even back in the day when you talk about McCarthyism, McCarthy was right. Alger Hiss was in
dead on.
He was there. And you can't even say that right now. And it's frustrating for me because like I said, I homeschool my kids. I just talked to Emma, my daughter, who's 21 years old. I talked to her just today, and she's in college. And I'm telling her, you got to watch out for what's happening. And don't look, you're in college. Just because you're listening to someone in a room, he or she listened to someone else in a room I've been to 70 countries. I've been in foreign combat missions. I've been overseas. These people have not, but they've heard what these communists tell them over and over and over again. And that's the nonsense. And and you know what's crazy is they've told us straight up, here's what we're doing to your kids. Get some. So guys like me,
So that's your line in the sand.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm done with this nonsense. I'm tired of just the way that the deep state's trying to raise our kids. It's nonsense.
Well, it's the end game is depopulation. That's the official plan of the WEF, that is a spokes group, the mouthpiece of the big banks. They say by 2047 there'll be no more humans. That's NBC News, by the way. Mm-hmm. That they want us to be cyborgs, but they've got to poison us with chemicals and all of this to where we're so sick we have to become all medicalized. Then they've captured the whole civilization. You see, after World War I, the Carnegie Endowment was tasked with ending war. And they came back in the 30s after a 10-year project and said, this is public knowledge, by the way, folks. The Carnegie Endowment actually runs the CIA, just for people that don't know. Mm-hmm. They came out and they said, we're just going to end humanity as you know it and make whatever's left basically a corporate creation like Brave New World. And Huxley, that wrote Brave New World in 31, in 61, before he died, wrote Brave New World Revisited. His brother ran UN, UNESCO, the founder of transhumanism, the former head of the World Eugenics Society, till Hitler gave it a bad name, in his words. He said, no. Brave New World's what we're actually planning to do, where they engineer the humans and drug the humans and control them.
A Brave New World. And what they tell people is you will own nothing and you'll be happy. And that's even where the gaming comes in. That's where the Grand Theft Auto comes in. That's where the PS3, PS5, PS whatever comes in. Because there are people, again, I say the word useful idiots because that's what the communists told us. That's what the KGB told us. The useful idiots will be there and they will wait until they get in their spot and they're going to line you up against the wall and shoot you. It's the whole thing I tell my daughters, you can vote your way into communism, you got to shoot your way out. And that's all it is. You vote for socialism and then your children eat out of dumpsters.
And socialism is always the road to communism.
Every single time. And you'll hear these people say, well, they just didn't do it right. So Pol Pot didn't do it right. Stalin didn't do it right. Hitler didn't do it right. This is ridiculous that I can't believe that I send my daughters to college and they're learning from college professors this ridiculous nonsense. And yet they say, well, we just didn't do it right. No, they did it exactly the way it was supposed to be. So, you wake up and learn. I mean, everything from the founding fathers, racist, Columbus, all this. Look, everyone had slaves. That's just the way it worked. And I don't agree with it. But we weren't the only ones that did it. And it's such an issue that they're like, America's bad, you're bad. Thomas Jefferson looked at 2% tax, he might have been happy with what's happening now. They're taxing us on what we should make. Soon. You think of future gains, are they going to give us money back if we don't make that money?
No.
No, of course we're not. But it's every single thing. All the government does, all this government does is they use fear and they use war. They use fear of war. And that's it. And that's what the military industrial complex keeps making money. And I used to believe in mom, apple pie and the United States. But I'm my eyes are open now. And I'm
that's my question, because it's an interesting process. You're so busy in the military, Navy SEALs, all these missions, commanding all the stuff. So what was the time date? Was it a quick shift or a slow process when you said, oh, my God, the culture itself's under attack?
I think Liz Cheney helped me out because when in 2003, they used the Iraq War. They pushed it on us because of 9/11, because here we are and we can push you. So at that time when I was like 27, 26 years old, I would have invaded anybody. And I went to war with Iraq. But now that I look back on it, what was Dick Cheney was in charge, by the way. It wasn't George Bush. What can Dick Cheney do? Well, Halliburton. How many billions of dollars can Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney make? And a guy like Donald Trump comes and says, hey, this is messed up. And then you got like Nikki Haley bitching about you. I've been to Ukraine. The first time I went to Ukraine was 1998, and I've worked for a corrupt government, and that was fun.
Haley can't find her ass with both hands, but she's the big war general now.
Well, all of them. Look at the Democrats. They're warmongers. We got to do this. And they say defend democracy. We just had a coup in this country and two assassination attempts on Donald Trump. That is not, first of all, we're a republic. We're not a democracy. A democracy is when you vote on every single issue. As a republic, we vote for people that do all this stuff. But you get people like the Cheneys in there who have been career politicians. Dick Cheney sent me to, I've killed so many people in Iraq, and I wonder why now. Well, it's because Dick Cheney sent us there. It's because George Bush said, well, we got to go.
And then it radicalized the Muslims more, and they opened the door and brought them in.
I'll tell you what, Alex, I'm not even kidding you. I've been in houses before where I've killed a guy in front of his two kids, and I've wondered to myself, now, did I kill a terrorist, or did I just make two more? And I think about this every single day. Those two young kids, they're going to hate me, and I'm never going to talk them out of it because I went in there and I killed this guy because he grabbed a gun. The reason he grabbed a gun is because I was in his house. The reason I was in his house is because George Bush and Dick Cheney said I should be there. We should never have been in Iraq, and I've been there.
Whereas if you were here and people were invading, you'd have fought too.
I'm telling you that. Seriously, it doesn't matter which flag you fly. When you go to a certain spot, you're an invader, and we shouldn't have been there. We should never go. And again, like I said, I was all about the war in Iraq. I'm not now, but guys like Dick Cheney, they'll sit out there and like, well, you know, we should have. This Dick Cheney can't go hunting without shooting his friend in the face. What an asshole. The guy sucks. The whole family sucks. And I've lost so many friends. I have so many friends that died in the war in Iraq because of him.
And his daughter had the lowest voting rate ever. Mm-hmm. And that was a referendum on her in that fake committee of January 6th. It's now coming out in Congress that, like we said, and the Inspector General admitted it's in the report, but he's not releasing it until after the election, that the feds were all over the place on January 6th.
Well,
I was there. I tried to stop it.
I remember that.
And the feds broke in the windows, and they would fake arrest him. It's on video, then take the handcuffs off.
How many people were arrested that weren't even there? And
a lot.
January 6th, that's a fluke. That's a fluke's not even a good word. That was planned. That was the feds doing whatever to get people. They're calling us terrorists. Some of my friends that work at Fox News, they were called terrorists. They're on a terrorist watch list. They went down there in part of the National Guard because the feds said they should be. My
own reporter, Owen Schroer, that had worked here before he was put in jail for 4 months or 3.5 months, they put in the indictment he should be charged with perjury because in the interviews before they indicted him, he said, I was with Alex Jones. I'm a reporter. They said, no, you went in the Capitol, which you never did. And they said, you don't work there. That's a lie. The guy had been on air here for 6-7 years.
But even if you did go into the people's house, whatever.
The point is they even lie in court. People think like the courts are so, you know, well, people know they're corrupt now, but they literally put him in prison and said, no, Jones is a reporter and Jones didn't go in and Jones did try to stop it. But this guy's with him. He's a reporter with me on a bullhorn saying don't go in too. They just disregard all that and put him in jail.
Well, I mean, look at the pipe bombs. Who set those up? Look at the.
That's now come out as the feds.
The vice president. Yeah, the vice president was there. Well, I wasn't. Yes, you were there. And it's so insulting. As a, I even tell people right now, I never fought for this country. I fought for the guy next to me. The people that I went to war with, we were there because a lot of these politicians follow the money, sent us to different places.
And back there, there wasn't an independent media that had any reach.
Well,
so
we just believed
it. It was an echo chamber.
We just believed it. Yeah, it was an echo chamber. Seriously. I mean, even look at Colin Powell, great general, a great diplomat, and he bought into that nonsense too. And we were just so eager to go to war, and that's all the Bush administration did was push us, and then we kept doing it over and over. And I mean, even the Obama administration and part of the Trump administration.
What is your expert view? And again, we have the author of The Operator, Firing the Shots That Killed Osama Bin Laden in My Years as a SEAL Team Warrior, Robert O'Neill. What is your view? And that's a complex issue, but we got like 7 minutes to break or 6 minutes. Because this could cause World War III, the Russians, I'm sure you know.
Right now, what we're looking at is Israel has finally taken they're in the saddle. They're on the horse. Because the two countries that are against complete communism are against the World Economic Forum. You brought that up. Against the deep state is Israel and the United States. Right now, we're lost. Israel, you saw what they just did with the pagers. That Israel's saying, you know what? F it. We got this. So they're proving that they're in the supply line. That not only, like, look at how cool that was with the pagers. They know damn well that once they hit that thing, dudes will pick the pagers up and look at it, then they blow their face off or they blow their sex organs off. That Israel is now taking the charge, and that's all we got left. Hezbollah, it's all about Iran, but Iran's being pushed. Russia, China, Iran, it's all there, and it's because there's no deterrence. We have deterrence, forward alliance solidarity, forward defense. That's all we have. We've lost all of that simply because we left Afghanistan too early. Everyone hates us. No one's afraid of us, and no one even knows that Joe Biden is the president right now. Did you know that? He's the president.
He even came out yesterday and said that Kamala's been running things for 4 years.
No, not a chance. Jill has.
So, but why were there no big wars with Trump? And now it's all popping off. And what's your view on Ukraine?
Deterrence. Ukraine. The reason that they hate Trump is because he's about to show people what is going on in Ukraine. Ukraine is dirty. Ukraine is nasty. Some of the best minerals and resources are there in Ukraine, and everyone's fighting for it right now. And that's like, why does Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer want to go to war? They're war hawks now. Lindsey Graham, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, they want to go to war. How crazy is it that we say every time there's an assassination attempt? There's been two in the last few months. That's nonsense. But they're just like, oh yeah, well that just happens. They're worried that Donald Trump will come in self-funded and show us.
I totally agree.
Not only what's going on in Ukraine, what happened with Kennedy. What the only state that's still alive from the Kennedy assassination is the deep state, and Trump will show us what it is. They're afraid of that. Why?
He's definitely a maverick. You know, you can disagree with him on issues, and I do on some, but he is his own man. You can't buy him, and he does love this country. And I want to talk about the assassination attempt when we come back next segment, because you're a real expert on things like that. But looking at this, the U.S. government under Obama overthrew the Ukrainian government, had a proxy war with the Russians. I didn't think the Russians should have invaded. That's not right either. And I went on Russian TV and told them that. And they were like, Mr. Jones, we're not invading. And I'm like, yeah, you are. And then all that happens. And then now it's escalated. But then NATO was covertly trying to get Ukraine to join. So I can see why Russia's pissed off that all these armies are on their border. But at the same time, then, it's a disaster.
Russia should be pissed off.
Yeah. So what do you think Trump will do? Because Trump says he'll end this day one. The U.S. pays for 90% of it. I think
he's going to be the adult in the room. He's basically everything from the Malaysian flight that went away. I'm convinced that was a shot at China. Don't mess with us. That's sixth generation war. That's all we got, though, because it's not the Biden administration running this. This is a lot of people in the House or whatever. But the thing with Russia, China, Taiwan, North Korea, Trump will come in and he will say, all right, everyone stand up as I sit down. I'm the adult in the room. Everyone knock it off, which they will. But right now, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, they've got until January 20th of next year. And they know it. It's coming. But the Malaysia flight, too, was one shot at China saying knock it off.
I'm really concerned with 39 days left of whoever runs the Biden administration, the think tanks, the bureaucrats, starting a war, because I saw the Pentagon back during the whole Syria thing say, hey, we're not going to attack the Russians. That's World War III. And then the Congress is like, we'll stop them. And well, that goes right, escalates quickly, nuclear war. Plus, we're not going to really try to fight here on the side of ISIS. Now I don't hear those generals getting up saying, we need to de-escalate this. Biden was saying 2 years ago, de-escalate. Now they're not. It seems like crazy people are running things.
Well, look at the strike group that we got headed over to, either the Arabian Gulf or the Persian Gulf, whichever way you want to say it. That's just how we're doing it. So we're sending all these things over there. We're sending all these, the navies, we have the strongest navy in the world, but they're sending them over there to send a message. Again, war's coming. And I don't even know who the hell's in charge. I think it's the House Armed Services Committee, maybe. Someone's got to be making a call.
And the Secretary of Defense is like sick for months at home. No one even tells him where he's at.
He went to get whatever surgery for how many months, didn't tell anybody. And he acted like he couldn't even delegate authority. Tell the Assistant Secretary of Defense, hey, I'm going to be out of the office, by the way, for 6 months. No, didn't say anything.
For people that don't know, that's the guy of all the time there's a missile launch, it's not a missile launch, we almost go to nuclear war. Reagan was like up 20 hours a day because he was always having to deal with that. Imagine, they're just all asleep at the switch.
Well, I mean, you got to figure, too, the way that it works with the football. So the football you carry around, and that's got the codes in it. Joe Biden's such an asshole that like he'll send people behind him, and they'll be 7 minutes late simply because he didn't want them going through Delaware with this suitcase. Like, dude, we seriously, potentially, might be going to nuclear war. And nuclear war, I don't think people realize nuclear
war. Imagine, that's a box that can end the world, and he's not even worried about it.
7 minutes. 7 minutes. And it's not just Russia launching someone else. This is India looking at China. This is another nuclear power. One missile, and everyone else is launching.
Robert O'Neill, stay right there. I want you to come back, because you're an expert on this, and I've read all this and studied it, too, but I don't ever really explain this. We need to. It's not, you just said, it's not just the U.S. and Russia. It's India and Pakistan and China and North Korea and then all the other states that have nukes. And the word is Saudi Arabia's got them. I'm told Iran's at them, but not delivery systems. So let's talk about that when we come back and the massive proliferation and how crazy this is. And we'll talk about the assassination attempts on Trump, this bounty of, you know, five groups here trying to kill him, and so much more with Robert J. O'Neill. You can find him at robertjoneill.com. You can get his number one best-selling book, The Operator. Be sure and check that out. I actually read that years ago. It's still very timely. You should get it today.
Iranians we saw and talked to, whether they were in uniform, out of uniform, school teachers, even children, this extraordinary courage that's come up. And it was in his eyes. And it is clear to me that the Ukrainians will win this. The question is, at what cost? Did they have, in those early hours, I know that Trump gave them javelins. I know that they had some defenses. But if you go back to the Budapest Agreement, they were, at the time, the third largest nuclear power in the world. Mm-hmm. And they made an agreement that they'd give those weapons to Russia to be destroyed in exchange for protection from Russia, Great Britain, and the U.S. Lesson to be learned here, don't give up your nuclear weapons if you have them, because you can't believe people like Vladimir Putin.
Well, even countries that have nuclear weapons can remain intimidated to use them. And we're seeing that now with our own country. And I fear what that legacy is going to be. No one wants to see a nuclear conflict.
I don't want to see one. Nobody
at
does.
The same time, if only one bully is going to be able to use those weapons as a threat, we got to rethink what we're doing.
See, I think the West made a mistake in this buildup that Putin, as he brought in 10,000.
Well, Robert J. O'Neill, famous Navy SEAL, run major operations. You're bringing up the facts on this. Why don't you explain to folks that it's not just U.S. versus Russia, that in almost every war game I've read, in fact, everyone, they never use one or two. It's not like we bombed Japan and nobody else had them. It instantly escalates in almost every scenario to total commitment worldwide, end of life as we know it.
Well, yeah, Alex, that's the way that it works. And we deal with Pakistan or India or Israel or China. People with nuclear weapons, they don't understand that if one gets launched, they're all going to get launched in a matter of 7 minutes. And I live in New York, and I remember watching they had these stupid public service announcements where they would say, hey, go into the middle of a building and duck and cover, and you got this, New York. No, you don't got this, New York. You don't understand what's going to happen. If one nuclear weapon gets launched with nuclear powers, life as you know it is over. It doesn't matter what the Kardashians are doing. It doesn't matter what you see on social media. Can you start a fire? Do you know how to use celestial navigation? Can you live? Like I've had neighbors of mine say, what are you going to do if there's nuclear war? And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat you. That's it. Like this life as you know it is over. And people just they don't quite realize what's at stake here. And it's not simply just Democrats, Republicans. This is the end of everything. as you know it.
And there's been a lot of graphic simulations of cities being blown up. Guys, show people some simulations of what a nuke hitting a city looks like. Keep going, sorry.
And it's not just one. One's not going to hit you. You're going to get hit by 30 of them. It's like when we do war games with China. It's like, well, yeah, our aircraft carrier battle group was here, and they missed us with one of their anti-ship missiles. Cool. They missed you with one. How about 10,000 of them? Did they hit you with one of those? Yes. I don't understand why it's so difficult for people to understand that we are so close to being at war. At the worst kind, someone that's been to war, I've been to war a lot, over 400 combat missions in 120-degree heat in some of the worst environments imaginable, and I hate war. I'm not a warmonger. I'm a registered independent. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. But you need to start taking this seriously. Do you care about your kids? Do you care about your neighbors? What is wrong with you? This is, it's that simple. And you get guys like Joe Biden who can't even put a damn sentence together, and Kamala Harris who can't put a damn sentence together. And it's all because, well, I vote Democrat. You have no idea what you're doing. Take your head out of your butt and come on, man.
Meanwhile, the Democrats are financing all these movies about civil war where a Trumpian figure gets killed. And we have all these Democrat leaders like Jamie Raskin saying, if Trump wins, we're going to have a civil war. And we're not going to certify his vote, what they claim Trump did, but he didn't. When you're seeing all that talk and former CIA, you know, chiefs over assassinations like Mudd on TV saying the government's going to kill this guy, it just seems like real wild-eyed hubris.
Well, they've tried. They've already tried to kill him twice. And the deep state's worried about that. They're so worried about Donald Trump that they're trying to kill him. They indicted him, how many, 34, whatever. They're trying to take him off the ballot, take RFK Jr. off the ballot. This is what they do. This is what communists do. And this is what the Stasi did in East Germany. And this, can you believe even a couple years ago during the lockdown, and I don't say the pandemic, I say the government-run lockdown, we had NYPD running house to house, knocking on doors saying, where are the Jews? I never thought I would see that since the 40s, but they did it, and they're still doing it. And this is communism. This is fascism. And what they do is admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations. These communists are doing it, and then we get blamed. Then we're the problem. We're the people that flew into DCA on one day, and all of a sudden we're the bad guys. This is nuts. And it's all because, again, follow the money. The government's afraid of losing their power, afraid of losing their money. They're going to throw you in jail because of it. That's it. It's that simple. I'm seeing it happen. I can't believe I'm seeing it in real time, but this is what's happening.
I totally agree. I'm sending the crew some clips of nukes blowing up city simulations that have been done by the Pentagon and others. Here's one I just sent them. And those are simulations of a strike on Russia. We have simulations of a strike on the U.S. And again, I'm somebody that just gets so interesting. Read all the nuclear doctrine and hydrogen bomb doctrine from the 50s up till now, and it's all been so wargamed, they know. And then now I see these statements like, oh, a nuclear war is winnable, or we can do it, or we can hit Russia, or they can hit us. But they know that that's not the case. So they say, well, Russia won't cross a red line. Where do you think that comes from, this new attitude?
Nobody wins a nuclear war. That we all lose. But the scary thing is, a nuclear weapon was the most powerful thing we had in the 50s. That is not the most powerful weapon we have right now. We're talking fifth, sixth generations. I'm talking about weapons where China can drive a vehicle by your house and microwave you. And what they will do is they'll flip the switch, and it will melt part of your skin off. So you wish you were dead. This is real stuff.
Neutron bomb. By the way, you're talking, this is a recent thing from 2 years ago where they explained that if you're under nuclear attack, check the internet. None of that's going to be on.
Gone.
You're going to be dead.
Everything that you know is gone. The battery in your iPhone is gone. Your car won't start. An EMP is everything.
Oh, they say get inside. Even if you're on the edge of the blast range, you want to get in. You want to get in a culvert.
Inside of what?
You want to get this. You want to get in the closest thing to a bunker would be in a culvert.
There's nothing. There's nothing there. The best thing you do is find one of the sewers in Manhattan and climb in there. That's it.
Exactly.
There's nothing you can.
A building's going to fall on you. That's the last place you want.
They implode. And people don't realize this because they're too busy playing Grand Theft Auto. Nobody, this is very, very real. It's very, very scary. The only reason China hasn't invaded Taiwan yet is because we showed them with that Malaysian flight that we can do this still. We just don't have a leader yet.
But yeah, let me just tell the crew, because I sent them some nuclear detonation simulations, say, nuke hits or nuke city simulation. It all just comes up. Yeah, there they are.
Yep.
I mean, these are small ones, what they do versus some of the biggest that have been detonated, where one bomb would blow up all of New York and surrounding areas.
Yeah,
all of it.
New York's not a big city. It's a tall city. But you set one off. And you got to figure, too, it won't just be one. A lot of these people, a lot of these Islamic...
Explain the MERV technology. Go ahead.
But just the way it'll be is you get one dude that wants a mansion with 72 rooms with a virgin in each, and he's going to blow himself up. He gets it. These are fanatics that believe this. Get one of them. Get 10 of them. Get 20 of them. They go to New York. They go to Philly. Actually, that might improve Philly. But I'm just saying, this is a bad, bad day.
And again, just the bombs we dropped on Japan would destroy all of Lower Manhattan.
Oh, those are
as it goes up, the Chinese detonated one, and so the Russians, that would blow up basically all of New York State.
Yeah, the entire place. And life as you know it will be gone, and it's so easy to not do that. But if you follow the money, you follow the power, you follow the Clintons, you follow people like that, Xi Jinping, they're not afraid of this because they're on a different level of personal power, personal everything, and that's these are the people in charge, and it's never changed. That's right.
They had communist Chinese leaders. I think it was Deng Xiaoping. It was a couple of them. They said, "Look, we got a 500 million people. If you killed 80% of them, that helps us. We're ready for war." Yeah. And now they're 1 billion and 400 million.
Well, I mean, they're running out of people too. The too many people are getting old. They don't have the infrastructure for it too. But that's not going to stop them. Look at Xi Jinping.
Look, they're getting up to the 1960s style ones,
and that is a nothing bomb right there. That is nothing. We've got nuclear submarines off the coast of Russia right now, off the coast of China right now. That's maybe half a bomb. They got 60 of these each sub, and then you've got redundancy.
100 megatons.
Well, they've got different warheads on different bombs. So not only do you have that nuclear sub, you've got five other nuclear subs for redundancy in case one needs to launch and they get taken out by a different sub. Then these ones are going to launch. Like this, our submarines. The only people that would live are the sailors on the submarine, and then thank God they're co-ed now, because at least we'll have men and women to rebuild this world.
Totally insane.
And I don't like thinking about it. It's not like I'm having fun talking about this. I really wish.
No, it makes me start laughing like you're laughing because you're concerned. It's like a joke. Yeah. It's so sick.
I joined the Navy on accident. I thought it'd be fun. And now it's like, holy crap, this is real stuff.
All right. So you've got real sniper expertise. Tell people a little bit of that. And then we talked days after they tried to kill Trump. You had big concerns. Now there's basically a consensus that was a stand down. Totally insane. Now we got a whistleblower from the Secret Service in Mar-a-Lago 2.5 weeks ago. That there was a deliberate stand down, even with this less security. The guy was in the woods 12 hours.
12 hours. I mean, in a bush. So 12 hours in a bush. As a counter sniper, the first time I did counter sniper ops was in Albania in 1998. I was protecting the president of Albania and some generals and admirals. And like the day one stuff that you do is here's a bush. Let's guard the bush. Not that hard. And so even on the first assassination attempt, I can't believe I'm saying that.
You ask yourself, where would it be for me to kill this guy?
Right. All you got to do as a sniper, put yourself in the position. Where's the principal? Cool. Here I am now.
And if you were in Butler, wouldn't it have been that closest roof?
Yeah. Which Which gun am I holding? Where's my minimum safe distance? Now I'm going to cover everything. And they didn't do that. 140 yards, that's a layup. We were talking about my daughters. I could teach my 7-month-old daughter how to take that shot and hit. And wow. This kid missed. And now, get a load of this. The kid missed, and the deep state missed, because all they wanted to do, have him kill Trump. They kill him. It's over. That's a grassy knoll. Well, oh, look at that. And that was Iran. Now we got to go to war with Iran. That's what the deep state's doing. That's what the military-industrial complex is doing. And it's that shot was so easy. You can't miss it. Yet he did. And that kid in a BlackRock commercial and all.
Wait, you're a real expert sniper on record. So you weren't ready 2 months ago. Now you're ready. Give us your breakdown of what you witnessed, what you saw in Butler.
What we saw was amateurs. If God forbid they hire a real sniper to shoot at Donald Trump, because they'll hit him. The way that you set up a sniper hide, you don't hide in a bush. What you do is you find the target, you back off, and you keep different states of shadows and whatnot. And then what you don't want to match what you're in, you want to match what's behind you. That shot is easy. As a sniper, we do that. We do a thing called stalking. We do it over and over and over, and we're shooting at real snipers a couple times a day for maybe 100 to 300 meters out, and it's easy. These are not real snipers. These are not serious people. If they send a serious sniper after Donald Trump, they will kill him. And we need to get away from this nonsense of the Secret Service. No, you need to get Tier 1 operators, SEAL Team 6, Delta Force guys, to be his personal security.
And then he talked about that, but it still hasn't really happened.
They are not serious. The Secret Service is not. It's not that they're not serious. They're in on it. You got to get away
from it.
You need to get real, serious operators. These Secret Service guys are nuts. I don't want to badmouth them because I've met a lot of those guys on the ground. There's a lot of good men and women. The leadership sucks.
It's clear that Ronald Rode, ran the stand down.
It's a failure in leadership. If I was one of those counter snipers, I would have fired myself. I would have fired everyone on my team. This is nonsense. The fact that we're having the conversation that, he got this nonsense. That doesn't happen.
Listen, I used to be a good shot when I was a kid, but never professionally trained. But I've got compact handguns that I can go out to the range with 100-yard, 4-inch metal targets and fire all 15 rounds. At 100 yards of a handgun.
You're going
to
hit?
With the right ones, like a Staccato from, ST. You like those guns?
Well, I like Watchtower Firearms. I'll tell you
about that. I believe you. I'll check them out. I know it's a heavier, but those handguns are incredible.
They're good guns, yeah. But, I mean...
Watchtower
Firearms, they're the best. We designed a gun based on the one I took into Bin Laden's bedroom. The best guns in the world. But with one of those guns, offhand, standing up with one hand, I could have taken that shot 140 yards. Easy. And that kid missed. But he didn't miss. He killed a guy in front of his family. That's a failure. That's a failure.
But so the consensus I've gotten is total standout, 90 minutes on the ground, bike, bag, rangefinder, and then 20-something minutes on the roof. And then there's Trump talking, and he's crawling along, and they're going, gun, gun. And now we learn it wasn't the Secret Service reportedly shot him. It was the cops.
And then the Secret Service blamed the local cops, which I think is nonsense too. And I'm a huge proponent of law enforcement. And I always tell people every time I got arrested, I deserved it because I think I love law enforcement. But then the Secret Service has the gall to blame the cops. Like, well, why weren't you doing why weren't you doing that?
The Secret Service refused to even sync radios.
No, nothing. Communication. Effective communication is the key to winning anything. And the Secret Service, where were they sending texts? What was that?
By the way, CNN hadn't covered a live rally in over a year.
How about that? I remember I was for some weird reason I was watching a celebrity pro-am golf event on NBC, and just because I want to get away from it all. And all of a sudden they go to Trump's thing. I'm like, well, this is weird. Why are they? Then boom, shots. Oh, they knew it was coming. Who told them? Who was in on this? Is it incompetence? Is it someone's in on it? It's not that hard. It's either incompetence or an inside job. That's it. It's not that hard.
And then it happens again.
And it's going to happen again.
But the Secret Service agent said, I worked there. Senator Hawley has it. We're always in the woods. We always check that spot. We actually check that spot every hour. 12 hours he's there.
That's nonsense. And Senator Hawley, too, he's doing a great job, too. But you need to get off your ass. Come on. Are you kidding me right now? Why is there an investigation or a strongly written letter?
Well, you alluded to this, and I said it 2 days after it happened, and they started pushing it a few days after that. If they start saying Iran's going to kill Trump, that's the cover for the deep state, surface-to-air missile, anything.
Did you notice that as soon as there was the second assassination attempt, Lindsey Graham came out and said it was Iran?
Yep.
Yeah. You know why? Because he gets a lot of money from war. It wasn't Iran.
Let me ask you this, and you're going to come back and someday, whenever you want. You come down here, you can host a show for 3 hours, awesome. 2 hours, whatever you want. We should do a podcast commercial free for like 3 hours. It's all the stories you could tell. I talked to some of the folks when it happened, and I had other people say, no, Bin Laden already died. They had him on ice. Some people said, well, it was a body double, but you guys were going in there. You went into a fortified deal by the military base, Pakistan. It looks like Bin Laden. You shoot him. You wrote in a book about it. You told the story.
Yeah.
And I believe you believe he shot him. And I'm not saying you're wrong.
No worries.
But then we had whatever happened there with the helicopter blowing up and all the classified helicopter. And then months later, you have all these Navy SEALs with no real mission. They're told, you're the expert here, packed on a helicopter. It flies out and blows up. A lot of people, including families I talked to, thought they were getting rid of folks that were involved in your raid without getting into all the secret stuff. What really happened?
Well, those weren't the guys involved. That was Gold Squadron. We were Red Squadron. They were not involved with the mission. That was a troop from a different team that went on a mission that I personally think they shouldn't have gone on. Nobody from the Bin Laden raid was involved with that.
So that was wrong in the media.
That was wrong. They kind of just wanted a story. It was Red Squadron SEAL Team 6 that went in for Bin Laden, and then Gold Squadron went after a different guy, and I'm not going to talk about him. And it was a lucky shot, and it sucks to say it, but it was what it was. I mean, even after
that RPG at the helicopter,
RPG, yeah. I mean, it did with Turbine 3-3. Those were missiles that get shot. And one of the things that I've learned, especially being at war as much as I have, I always tell people, don't die because you got bored. Don't go on a stupid mission. Don't take shortcuts. I honestly think that Extortion 17 was a shortcut. They shouldn't have gone on it. It had nothing to do with Bin Laden. And even on the Bin Laden raid, when we got that, because that was definitely Amal Bin Laden. It was definitely Osama Bin Laden. But I've talked to some of my friends afterwards, and we've over a beer or two, we've talked about Why do you lose sleep at night? It's like, well, shit, what if that wasn't him? Like, you're just talking about it.
Well, you were there, and you're incredible. A lot of people that know you, they say you're a really incredible guy. Describe it. It's in the book, but describe what he looked like. Did he realize you were about to kill him?
Yeah. When we went up the final set of stairs, it was me and one other Navy SEAL. There was a point man in front of me. We're going up the last set of steps, and what he was saying to me, he didn't know it was me. He knew it was one of his guys, and he's like, we got to go. And I had my hand on his shoulder as the two men, and what my job is to tell him it's time to go. When he said, what he was saying to me is, those are the suicide bombers, we got to do it. And I remember before I squeezed him, I was saying, it's not bravery. I got to get it over with. I'm tired of thinking about it. And I squeezed him, and he went up the stairs. And at the top of the third set of stairs, he moved this set of curtains, and he jumped on these three women that he thought were suicide bombers. And how he doesn't have a Medal of Honor right now, I don't know. I will advocate for him to get it, but just simply because...
That's why you guys had cameras or probes.
We didn't have anything.
How did you think they were suicide bombers?
They got to be. They've got to be. Bin Laden's going to blow himself up. We've seen these leaders do this. And because he went up there and he went this way, simply because he went this way, I went that way. And it wasn't bravery. I turned, and here's this guy who's 6'4". He's got his hands on Amal's, his wife's shoulders. I'm looking at him. I'm like, okay, he's taller than I thought. He's skinnier than I thought. His beard is gray. He's not surrendering. He's a threat. I got to take the shot. So I shot him twice. I moved Amal, shot him again. And I pulled her out of the way, knowing other Navy SEALs are coming in the room. And the humanity of it, too. The combat comes down to certain points. And I don't care who you are. I looked down at his son, Hussein, who was a 2-year-old kid and is a father. I looked at him and I was like, this kid has nothing to do with this. I remember moving him, and then I pushed him towards the bed. Other Navy SEALs came in the room, and I turned around. I can hear Osama bin Laden taking his last breath. I can see the steam coming out of his head because I just shot him 3 times.
Where'd you shoot him in the head?
3 times in the face. And one of my buddies came up to me, and he's trying to get me back to Earth. He goes, are you good? And I said, I'm good. What do we do now? And he goes, now we find the computers. You do this every night, hundreds of times. Come on, brother. And I said, yeah, you're right. Holy crap, I'm back. And he goes, yeah, you just killed Osama bin Laden. Your life just changed. Get to work.
Wow.
That's my guys.
So you kind of went, whoa.
Yeah, it was one of those. It was a moment. But he brought me back. And he's like, okay, cool. Let's get our stuff. Let's get this body. Let's call a helicopter. We can live. Now we can live.
Why would they throw it in the ocean and not create like a shrine?
That I disagreed with. I was telling that from day one. The way that these Wahhabi Sunnis work, they don't worship a false idol. That's why there's always the issues with drawing Muhammad. You don't worship a false idol. I told them you can bury him, whatever. They said, we don't want a shrine. I disagreed. They threw him in the ocean. Now, I wasn't there. So technically, I didn't see him get thrown in the ocean. So who knows? Maybe he's in some betadine in Langley. I don't know. But that's exactly what he looked like right there. A little bit gray beard, and I shot him 3 times in the eyebrows.
What do you think about how he reportedly was one of the leaders of the Mujahideen working for the CIA earlier?
Well, he did. I mean, we were fighting Russia. So obviously we're giving them Stinger missiles. We do that. Like everyone says, he was an asset. Of course he was. Like everyone's an asset. We're Russia. It's always Russia. It's always Russia. And we're fighting with the Muslims from that part of the world.
Proxy war.
Until it doesn't fit us. And then they attack us. Or did they attack us? And then we someone's making money. Dick Cheney's making a lot of money off that.
You've been telling me about, I think I've heard you talk about it, but if, is it private, all the detox stuff you've done? Because you look great.
Thank you. Yeah.
I mean, you look bad when I saw you on TV 10 years ago, but you actually look younger or something. You're wearing a hat that says DMT. What's
DMT,
going on there?
Well, I got into psychedelics and plant-based medicine because I was mentioning earlier about the PTSD that comes with killing people in front of their families. And the further you get away from it, the more it kind of sinks in. And so I started getting into Ibogaine is my favorite, but then DMT, the hat that I'm wearing, and then psilocybin. MDMA, and all that does is I'm trying to get it legalized, not legal like buying weed.
Decriminalized.
Well, just get
medicalized.
Can a doctor give it to you?
Medicalized.
I shouldn't need to go to Costa Rica to get Ibogaine. And the way that Ibogaine works is you go in there and it's 50 hours of straight hell. You see the devil and he gives you a tour of your soul and you cry and I went through recently with a couple sergeants major from Delta Force and Green Berets, and we hated it. And then we did the DMT afterward, and all of a sudden you see God. And you know what it does? It teaches you to forgive yourself. It teaches you to love yourself. What I did, I didn't do it for the government. I did it from the man and woman next to me.
Yeah, I got invited by a very famous Delta Force commander, because they're actually doing it in Arizona. It's like a quasi-government facility, but I just didn't do it. They were going to have some astronauts, other people, and it was very nice. They invited me. They were a very serious invitation to take it because, you know, they're doing it secretly in the U.S.
Yes.
It's a government. I mean, yes. I was like, I know you guys are good and people that know you and you say you want to help me. You should tell you're drinking, Jones. You need to do this.
You should be able to do it. DMT is, so Ibogaine's about 50 hours. DMT is about 3 minutes. And the thing with DMT is, the first time I did DMT,
it's like a cocktail of like a day.
Well, yeah. We do Ibogaine, Reiki, DMT, one after another. And we have medical experts giving it to us. And the first time I did DMT, I asked my wife, she was there with me. I said, how many hours was I out? And she said, 2 minutes. Because all it does is I think that DMT, and you have to do it to understand it. I'm convinced I call it the God molecule. You see it when you're born, you see it when you die, and that's it. But when you take DMT,
it opens the dimensions.
I'll tell you what, you go in there, and the only way I can describe DMT, the last time I took it, I saw my grandparents, I saw my dead relatives, and all it said, it was speaking to me in a language I couldn't understand, but I knew what they were saying. And all this maternal voice was saying is, you don't need to miss anything. Everything you've been told was wrong, and welcome home. And it's just, and literally, wake up crying. I'm just so happy to be here.
See, I haven't ever taken it because I have dreams like that already.
It's incredible. I'll do it with you. If you want to do it, you and I will go down there. We'll take DMT together. I can set it up today.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm serious. You'll love it. You'll cry and you'll hug me. It's amazing.
I don't know. For some reason, I'm not scared of much. For some reason, I'm scared of it.
It's amazing. No, you see God. I wish I could describe it.
I don't know how to see the devil first, though.
Well, the thing, you know what? The DMT.
Right, I'm not seeing myself. Hold on. Quick break. Let's do a few more minutes. Here we go. All right, Robert J. O'Neill's here, the most famous Navy SEAL, I mean, undoubtedly, and he's got the best shelling book everybody should get. I read it when it came out, The Operator. This is a short segment. Some stations don't carry it, but you were describing the celestial plane or whatever you call it, and you're saying, how were you before you did this versus since you
I was suicidal. I was drinking vodka out of the bottle in my closet, waiting to grab a shotgun to blow my head off.
How many years ago was this?
A year ago, 2 years ago.
I look like crap from stress. I'm looking better now, but I would see you on, you know, Fox News like 5 years ago and think, man, that guy looks like he's been through hell. You didn't look bad. But you could tell you were like blasted, you know, and then like I've seen you recently. You look great, man.
Thank you.
So it really helped.
Thank you. It's because of the psychedelics. It's because of the plant-based medicine that I've been taking. And it's like for me, it's a process. I'm going to be taking Ibogaine at least twice a year for the rest of my life. I'll be doing DMT probably once a month.
So it's a total reset.
100% reset. And the way that it worked, what I love about it is it gives you a tour of yourself. So you're able to look yourself in the mirror. Look at yourself face to face, and you can only be honest. You can be honest with yourself. You can't lie to yourself. And the one thing that hit me, Alex, was the last time I did the Ibogaine of DMT, because I think it's a God molecule. You see heaven, you might see hell.
Well, let's just say it. You're having a near-death experience.
Yeah, yeah. But what it said to me was the only, because I thought I was going to go to hell for killing so many people. And what this the medicine for me sits on my shoulder and it looks at me and it said the only people who go to hell are people who think they deserve to. If you can forgive yourself, if you can love yourself, and it literally looks at you and says, take a deep breath, be with me, hold my hands, big breath, exhale, love yourself. And that's what this medicine does. It teaches yourself to, it almost taught me too, that the only reason the people that I killed in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, we only killed each other because we're born on different parts of the world. That's it. Everyone's okay. Get over it. Love yourself.
And that made you then realize that you've been lied to.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. That's kind of what took the blinders off.
Well, who got you to first do it? Friends?
Yeah. Well, the thing with me was the alcohol. I was drinking way too much, and a lot of my friends were awesome, and they were sober, and they finally told me, hey, I've been sober for 2 years. I'm like, why?
Yeah, when I got approached by the Delta, very famous guy, you know his name, he was like, look, we can tell you get drunk sometimes, and I was a big drunk too. You need this.
Seriously.
He met Jesus, the whole nine yards.
It's right in front of you. And all they said is, yeah, I took Ibogaine, and it's changed my life, and I'm like, why didn't you tell me that? And as soon as you get Ibogaine, and Ibogaine is not fun. Like, I actually just testified in front of Congress 2 days ago.
It's a paralytic, isn't it?
It's insane. It's insane. Everything is around you is real, and you're awake, and you can hear all this stuff, and all it's doing is, it's telling you what you already know, and you can't lie to yourself. And all it does is sit there, and it tells you things that you've even forgotten, and then it brings you back up, and then you take the DMT, it shakes it loose, and then it lets you forgive yourself. When I took DMT the last time, I was holding a plate of honeydew and watermelon, staring at the ocean. I'm staring at the Coronado Islands, and I remember thinking, this is the most beautiful smelling. I'm eating this stuff crying, and like I want to pet the bugs. I want to touch the birds because it's so.
And that's how they say that's God. That's how that's what God is.
God is telling you you're okay. God is telling you to forgive yourself. And that's the key to healing.
Well, in the archetypes, Satan says, I'm empowering you to have fun and do bad things, but it's all about guilt.
Well, Satan's an asshole.
Yeah.
But he's there. He's real. But this is...
What does Satan look like?
Satan has yellow teeth, black gums, and red eyes.
Really?
And he sits there and he taunts you. And but once you let the molecule in and you forgive yourself, then Satan goes away. And I sound crazy right now. But
I was talking to Tucker Carlson about stuff, but it's off record. Maybe he'll talk about it soon. But everybody has that experience, like the demons laughing, messing with you.
Oh, the first thing you have to go through that first. The first thing you do when you deal with Ibogaine is what they tell you is Ibogaine is going to show you stuff you might not want to see, and if it shows you stuff you don't want to see, push it away. But if it keeps showing it to you, you got to accept it. When I took Ibogaine an hour into it, there was 10,000 demons, and they looked like mirror balls all over the place, and they're staring and taunting and whatever. And the medicine came in and said, okay, we need to deal with this right now. You've got to address this, and so you address it. And all of a sudden, you tell them go away, and then all of a sudden, it gets the thing with this.
Hold on, we got to join stations in 1 minute. This is powerful. The Operator, Robert O'Neill. That's the book. The Navy SEAL killed Bin Laden. We got to have you back for a couple hours. We got to do a commercial-free podcast. You got to come and host the show sometime. And I got to be in federal court trying to save this place here in the next few weeks. There's other hearings I've got to go to in Houston, so we're going to set that up. It's great to have you here. Drew Hernandez is set to take over in a moment, but just fit. You're like talking. You're back to these demon orb balls, and then taking heroin addicts, getting instantly fixed. Talk about it.
Well, the way that it worked, the first time I took Ibogaine, I went to a place in Tijuana with two heroin addicts, and they weren't veterans, but they went down there, they were addicted to heroin. And I remember that we all did this Ibogaine, and they came out of it and they were saying, well, this must not have done anything for me because I can't feel anything. And I remember the doctor said to them, well, are you jonesing right now? Do you want heroin? And they said, no. And they go, well, it worked. The medicine is working. You were not dope sick right now. You don't need a fix. How do you feel? And they're like, I feel amazing. And that's how I felt too. Mine was PTSD. Theirs was.
Yeah, I've been reading the statistics. Something like a 90% for heroin, alcohol, everything.
That day when you get done with it. I remember, Alex. When I flew out, I went to San Diego to fly back to New York. I was standing because my thing was alcohol. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm standing at this beautiful fluorescent bar, tequila bar. And I'm looking at it, and all I thought to me was, this just doesn't make sense to me. Not in a drink, whatever. You can drink, fine. But I'm looking at it like, this just doesn't register. I don't want tequila right now. I just really don't want to drink. And that's what it does do. It comes to your system and says, you're happier without it.
Now, but you were a Christian before you believed in God?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was raised Catholic, but now I'm deeper into it now. No, most definitely now, yeah.
But because I've seen the studies, even people from other religions or atheists or people in other countries who it's their archetype, you could say, isn't Jesus and the devil, which I know is real, but we call it an archetype, mm-hmm. people that don't believe it, they're seeing the same thing. And people that had near-death experiences was what these chemicals bring you into.
It does, yeah.
Even though I haven't taken them, I've read about it. It's very interesting that It people all see the same. Basically, you see the debt, you see the evil, you see the good.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it in Georgia, you can see it in Gabon, you can see it in South America, and it's the same thing every time. And it's simply the demons show up, and then the entity or whatever the medicine is, it shows up and it shows it to you. It lets you acknowledge it, and then it pushes it away, and then everything.
I think that's what you call an angel, or some people say it's a deception. It could be a devil.
No. The you can tell the demons from the angels. The angels are different. They're light. They're white. They're loud. The demons are dark. Like I said, the yellow gums, the black teeth, and they smile at you. They taunt you. But once you acknowledge them, you can't necessarily kill a demon, but you can contain it and move it aside. And the medicine just like I said before too, it's like people go to hell because they think they deserve it. Once you recognize these demons, acknowledge them and then push them off. It literally is.
Well, but describe the angels. They're loud.
They're loud. They're. It's hard. It's so hard to describe. They take over a room, and I don't want to get all religious on you, but they're
very clear.
They're. You know what it is. The way that I describe these angels is, you can exhale. You can continually exhale. You can feel yourself exhaling. And that's it. You can keep
peace.
Yep. And then when you want to inhale, you can exhale. And the angels are, they're behind. Like the angels are here, the demons are here, and they kind of just, it's a smile. The demons have the yellow teeth and the gums, and the angels are Just
yeah, in my dreams that have been very prophetic, and I don't get it along there, where I have similar experiences, but it's just through dreaming, you know, opening up those, God opening that up to me. Exactly. I've never seen the angels. They're behind me.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, and I'm total completion, you know, presence of God. And then and it's like, well, we're not God, but you know, this.
It's a presence. Exactly. It's you can't. The God molecule, I can't quite say what it's like, but it's.
But then I'm in some of these dreams, I'm like, well, I want to know why things happen. No, they're like, okay, if you really want to look around, you can. And then I see like all the destroyed civilizations, all these hells of these contained people that decided to create, you know, separate themselves from God. And I've gone, and then I want to see what it is. It's like old men with sand trapped forever in their hands. And then I've left that higher space because I chose to even go look at the evil. It's kind of like, it's not kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah where his Lot's wife turns back.
Yeah. Exactly. When I say it's a maternal. The voice is so, it's almost like you can't, I couldn't quite, I didn't speak the language, but I understood what she was saying. And it's the only way I can sort of describe the DMT part after the Ibogaine was, everything you knew was not true. Welcome home. You're here. And it was almost like, cause I, you know, my daughter's 7 months old. I didn't miss her cause she was there. I didn't miss my grandmother. My grandmother told me like, we're just here.
You were saying during the break, your family that's crossed over, they were like above you.
They're up here. My family here is right here. And it shows you what's important. So my wife is here. My daughters are here. And they're like, even some of the guys I've killed were over there. And it wasn't like an apology. It was, we've just been here. Here we are. It's like an energy.
But does that tell you if somebody you kill, it connects them to you?
Sort of. But I mean, it's not a good or evil. It's more of an energy, like we're just here. There was no forgiveness, and there was no, hey, I'm sorry. There was like, all right, whatever. But, and it was more of a, we were supposed to meet. Like, I'm convinced I was supposed to meet. I'm still supposed to meet evil people face to face and then get rid of them. I don't know what that means, but like an aura. And so the demons and the evil was sort of there, and it was supposed to be, and it's just going to, I sound crazy right now, but that's what the
medicine. Listen, I've been researching, I've talked to a lot of people. Some people have bad experiences, folks, and so I'm not endorsing any of this, but I think you're a good guy, and what you're saying is legitimate from your perspective, and most people do have a good experience. Me personally, I have Christ, I have the Holy Spirit, and I have these dreams since I was a kid that experienced what you guys are talking about exactly, and I even get told like future stuff. Sometimes it's some nonsensical thing. And it comes true like a month later, and I go, see, listen to me. This is, you know, real. And then now I don't even really get it through dreams. I'll just know something, and I know, oh, that's God telling me. So I've never taken any of that, but it's very interesting. You got to come back. I'm going to read the book again. I read it a few years ago, and thank you so much. The book is The Operator Firing the Shots That Killed Osama Bin Laden, and the many years as a SEAL team warrior, Robert O'Neill. Don't go yet. I'm going to introduce you to Drew Hernandez, and I got to say this right now before I hand the mic to my good buddy and also pastor and, you know, popular talk show host and journalist, Drew Hernandez. They are shutting InfoWars down on November 13th. They're selling it. I no longer own it. Okay. They're got a bunch of people say they're going to buy it. Whatever goes on with that, if they're good and don't censor us, I'll work for somebody new. The bad guys say they're going to come in and buy it just to shut it down. It's not about money. That's why we have sponsors that are funding InfoWars, but are also funding me. I just came out of bankruptcy. Nothing. I'm rebuilding just the last few months. I need money to defend myself in these cases where they're trying to take my name, which sounds ridiculous. It's in the news. You can pull up Reuters. And my ability to be on social media. It's next level censorship. It's going to cost me conservatively $300,000 to fight this in the next few months. It's going to go on after that. I don't have any of that money, okay? I've got like $100,000 in the bank, and I've already got bills past that. You want me to fight a war? I can do it. They've spent almost $70 million coming after me the last 6 years. We've beat them with... on lawyers, we probably in 7 years spent $15 million. All right, they've sued my family to destroy them as well, drjonesnaturals.com. My dad helps launch supplement companies. It's separate from free speech, but it's a sponsor. So you support InfoWars if we survive that way. We also support my dad and as a sponsor for something new. The AlexJonesStore.com got launched by some great folks that make some of the top Patriot t-shirts in the country, and they're supporting us big time. They're bigly. The place to go is TheAlexJonesStore.com. Great Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, you name it, and that is going to let us, whatever happens, because I'm still 98% focused on saving the operation, covering the news, waking people up, but I am putting the lifeboats in the water. We can't save the ship right now, so I'm working even extra hard, but I don't have the funds. I got some huge people want to come in. big names, but my thing is save InfoWars is my commitment. I've got to at least have the seed operation, if I have to do it myself, that it won't be controlled, because who knows what's going to happen when all this goes down. They're making big moves against everybody. They got to get through me to get to you. You know that. I need you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. I need you to get the t-shirts, get the ball caps. I need you to go to drjonesnaturals.com. Incredible supplements, nano silver, nice little foundational energy. Doesn't have a stimulant in it, but it has a huge stimulant effect with no letdown. Just go look into what it is. InfoWarsStore.com is great. The Vitamin Mineral Fusion, all the products there. If you order, you'll get it. Even if this sells in November and we don't get a good buyer that we will work with, it'll take a month or so to wind it down. Anything you order, you'll get. You get orders out within a day of ordering. InfoWarsStore.com. So it's important to cover all three of those bases. We've reached so many people together. We're doing our best work right now, and they're not defeating us by this. It's a war. We expect to be attacked because we're over the target. So I humbly ask for all your support, and I thank those that haven't supported. But out of the tens of millions of viewers and listeners a day, it's less than 1% of our buying thing. I get it. But this isn't just some Netflix show or entertainment. This is the real world, and this is a real fight. I don't have big people. I got some big ones saying they're going to help, but that's a whole other ball game, and I got to interface with that. Then they want plans and all this stuff. Right now, we don't really have any chips in the game to continue on. So you help us, I'll continue on. I'll never sell out. I'll never, give in, but I could give out. So I'm in your hands. I humbly ask for your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com, DrJonesNaturals.com, InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you so much. Drew Hernandez takes over.
All righty, Alex Jones. Brother, thank you so much. You guys are now watching the fourth hour of The Alex Jones Show. I am your guest host, Drew Hernandez. Want to continue this conversation of the imminent, and I don't say this to fearmonger. I know Alex doesn't say this. Anybody that is watching the development as we've been watching in just the past 48 hours of how close we really are to a World War III nuclear holocaust scenario. We've seen Biden stutter. He spoke at the UN a couple days ago for the last time. He was stuttering. He was mumbling, but he made himself very clear because his handlers have to give him exactly what the narrative is and the agenda they want to accomplish is going to be, as he's still the sitting puppet president, right? Really want to make sure we emphasize that for the audio listeners that are tuning in right now. But it's pretty abundantly clear that even Biden made it very clear. And it's a total contradiction. Every time they talk about this, when they're talking about the Ukraine war, they're talking about Ukraine and Russia, Biden straight out said this at the UN. He said, Vladimir Putin has failed. That's what he said. Vladimir Putin has failed in his effort to destroy Ukraine and destroy democracy, which is an assault on democracy worldwide and globally. See, that's how they tie everything together. That's how they bring in this globalist union. It's the satanic antichrist union all together as one. And whenever you hear this, that's why you hear it in the United States of America. You hear Democrats, you hear Rhino Republicans. They're all in unison in the media, assault on democracy, threat to democracy. Whoever's in that crosshairs, all they're really talking about is their new world antichrist order. That's exactly what is biblical. That is what is foretold. That is what is developing. And what's very interesting happening right now is you see Biden come out and say, Vladimir Putin has failed. But we gotta continue and we gotta up the ante when it comes to this war effort because we can't let up. And then today, another $8 billion military aid package has now been designated and being greenlit to Ukraine, and another $8.7 billion to Israel as well in military aid funding. So clearly, quite clearly, while we are on the verge of potentially having our country hijacked, it's already been hijacked. They've already installed Joe Biden and that retard Kamala Harris, which, by the way, is pretty actually interesting because at least with Joe Biden, there's the excuse that he's old and he's lost his mind. But Kamala Harris is just a straight up short bus, full blown mental retard. And it's just so like crazy to watch, right? Because whenever you watch Joe Biden, you're just like, the guy's old, he's lost his mind, he's a straight up pervert, always been one, but now he's even worse. But you look at Kamala Harris and you're like, my gosh, this woman is just straight up retarded. She had an interview with MSNBC last night. Did you guys see that? Total train wreck, absolute train wreck. Looks like a deer in headlights when she's asked basic questions and she just literally intellectually walks in circles. She's got a carousel. She's got a merry-go-round in her mind But anyways, and this is who's going to stand against the violent threat to Europe and the world? Vladimir Putin? Yeah, nobody believes that. You got to be more retarded than Kamala Harris to actually believe that. But, you know, I don't want to get distracted here. Because this World War III nuclear exchange scenario is very, very, very real. It's on our doorstep. You know, my mind has changed. I talked a little bit about this on my show on Drew Hernandez Live last night, and I really want to emphasize this even and expound on this a little more here. You can go find that rumble.com/Drew Hernandez. Watch it anytime. But my mind has changed on this the past few months. Now, obviously, of course, World War III is always going to be a huge issue. And of course, a nuclear exchange is always going to be a huge issue. But voting for President Trump for me has always been about preventing an open border. That was the same thing for me in 2016, into 2020, and here again in 2024, where we have to not only close the border, but we have to deport millions of violent people and stop this human child sex trafficking operation that has been fully funded and mandated by the federal government. And you hear Kamala Harris come out and say, well, Donald Trump didn't want to put a stop to this problem of the border crisis. This is why I told people to stop saying border crisis. Stop saying that. It's not what it is. It's not a border crisis. It's not a humanitarian crisis. All of those words are used by intelligence agencies flown through the media in order to get and achieve a certain narrative. So now you got Kamala Harris coming out and saying that Donald Trump did not want to stop the border crisis. It's an open border massacre. It's a human child sex trafficking operation that is being run by the federal government in the United States and funded by we the people. They're using our taxpayer money to do it on a daily basis. And that's a huge issue. And the open border will always be a huge issue for me. And also the current state of the economy and making America financially great again, not being taken advantage by foreign countries as we have been for decades, because we are the most wealthiest and most powerful superpower on the face of the planet Earth. But how the hell do we find ourselves right now in mass inflation? People that are making $100,000 a year are still going into the negative, having to tap into their savings. Should not be in the United States, but it's all intentionally being done to us, right? But now when I see just exactly how critical and imminent a nuclear World War III, not just a World War III, right? Not a kinetic world war like World War I or World War II or an Afghanistan war. Well, they tried to lie us into that one, remember? Weapons of mass destruction. We got to go in. They kept changing the goalpost, right? After 9/11, first it was, we got to go get the Muslims. We got to get the radical Islamic terrorists, Osama bin Laden. We got to retaliate. Remember that? I remember when I was a kid hearing that. Oh, and then we were there for a few years, and then they had to come up with another excuse. What was the next excuse? They moved the goalpost. Oh, weapons of mass destruction. If we don't go in there and find them and defuse them. I remember hearing this as a kid and believing it as a little kid. It's like, whoa, that's crazy. Because you grow up watching like Mission Impossible, all the predictive programming that causes you to believe it when you see it. Yeah. And then they changed the goalpost from there once that was disproved. And then they said, well, we got to be there because of the oil. All right. We got to be out here because we got to secure the oil. And that was debunked. And then a few years went by and then they shifted the goalpost again. And like, well, actually, we're in the business of nation building. We got to help the Muslims escape Sharia law. They want us here. They need us here. So we could help them build a democracy. And that turned out great, didn't it? Oh, my gosh. Right. And so it's you see the same development taking place right now. They're doing the same thing with Ukraine as a proxy, as a puppet, in order to plunge the world into another world war conflict. But now we actually do have a serious nuclear exchange threat, because at this point now, there are more nuclear arsenals in various different countries, now more than in any point in human history. The tensions are high between multiple countries. The psyops are high. And we might even potentially end up in a scenario where they try to psyop the world to believe that a nuclear exchange has now taken place, and then just lie about it, say Russia launched it, say Vladimir Putin launched it against Ukraine. There will be no evidence. They initiate and turn on all the internet kill switches. You can access no information. They shut down Rumble. They shut down X. They shut down URLs. They shut down everything. And the only portal of information you can access on your phone or your television is CNN, the White House transmission, and that's it. Very similar to what happened. Remember what they did. They already did this. They already did this in 2020 with the lockdowns. The flow of information, they attempted to centralize it. It was through Facebook. It was through Twitter. It was through social media. And it was regulated by the gatekeepers, the fact checkers, anything outside of that, any COVID misinformation or disinformation. If you are anti-lockdown, they did this in New Zealand. If any of your neighbors are anti-lockdown, you make sure to let the government know, because that's bad. Same thing. Everything's centralized. There's only a certain stream of information that you can tap into and rely on during an emergency situation. And so we could potentially end up in a situation like that where they could just straight up stage a nuclear bombing, cut off the United States of America from the rest of the world like North Korea does, and just full-blown prison, planet, police state lockdown mode. Tell everybody to stay inside, just like they were talking about in the last segment. Oh, yeah, nuclear bombs are going off everywhere. You can make it. Just, get under your desk. You'll be fine. Yeah, just literally creating some kind of false hope like you could actually survive that if it all goes down. See, the elites know this. They know everything. They know exactly how bad things can get or will get because they're planning it all. And then when they finally roll it out, they give you this impression that you can actually survive. But it's just, depopulation tactics and agendas. However, the threat still is very, very real. And you have the United States of America. You have the military-industrial complex that is loving this, wanting it because it funds them. The military contracts are in the trillions. Trillions with a T. Okay, deep black government projects and black projects, that's what they're called, that are in the trillions of dollars of these government projects, right? Lockheed, Raytheon, et cetera, the list goes on. You see, so it's in their interest to have a conflict like this, especially with the depopulation agenda. It would be very quick, not only from the nuclear exchange themselves, but the fallout from that. And what I mean by fallout is just talk about the famine, the nuclear famine, okay, or the result of a nuclear exchange and the famine, the worldwide supply chains, the famine, everything being cut off and neutralized, ended immediately, would cause a death toll in the millions, hundreds of millions, depopulation. Why do you think that the elites are building their bunkers? Why do you think that they are preparing for a doomsday scenario? Because they all know that that day is coming and all of the peasants will die while they sit back and remain and rebuild civilization into the future. That's why the World Economic Forum, all these globalist powers, they're always talking about not only mastering the technologies of the future, but therefore mastering the future itself. They believe they are the masters of time, which God Almighty has created. It's Antichrist. So we'll unpack a lot of this because there's a lot of developments leading into this. And it's very, very real. It's not fear-mongering. So I encourage you guys, when we come back on the other side from the break, continue to share the links. Follow me on Twitter or X at Drew H Live. Follow Alex at Real Alex Jones and at InfoWars. Share the links, tag me in them, and I'll repost it. I'll see you guys on the other side when we come back from the break. All righty, we are back. You are back. You are now watching the fourth hour of The Alex Jones Show. I am your guest host, Drew Hernandez. If you're tuning in right now, make sure to share the links, band.video. If you're watching on X, at InfoWars, or at Real Alex Jones, share the links, repost this absolutely everywhere, and give me a follow as well on X, at Drew H Live. Tag me in anything you repost, and I'll take a look at it and repost it. We appreciate all of you guys supporting InfoWars. Make sure to support InfoWars now. More than ever, it's imperative because This is the real deal. You guys heard Alex. You've been hearing Alex. It's pretty interesting, the timing of all of this. I mean, look, they threw Steve Bannon in jail right before they attempted to kill Trump multiple times. Look how they're trying to take down InfoWars very aggressively. They're going after other news publications. Look how they're going after Elon Musk and X and Rumble as well. It is a full coordination to suppress and control the flow, to centralize information itself. And I think they really are going to go after President Trump maybe one more time in October. I might be wrong about that. I'm not calling for that, but it's looking like it. It's looking like that's some kind of pattern here, especially when it's the deep state. And I'm convinced that intelligence agencies are definitely directly involved. When you take a look at J13, so many inconsistencies. I don't buy the narrative that it was a catastrophic security failure. They clearly set President Trump up to die in a kill box. They failed. And then Ryan Routh in West Palm Beach, Florida, somehow is in a sniper's nest sitting in the bush on the golf course 12 hours before President Trump even decides to go golfing the next morning. That's definitely not an inside job. So there's clearly a mole. Potentially be within the Trump campaign, obviously the Secret Service or intelligence agencies, which, by the way, I like to be very clear about this. I think there are good people still in the Secret Service, in the FBI, in law enforcement, because we got whistleblowers coming out and leaking information to Senator Josh Hawley, showing the inconsistencies, even forewarning after J13. That if nothing changed within the Secret Service leadership, that this will happen again before November, the election. And that was proven to be correct and true. And it might happen yet again. But one thing I do find interesting, and that I do not believe, let me make myself clear, I do not believe, is this Iranian plot that Iran is plotting to assassinate President Trump in a retaliation against President Trump because of some of his actions against Iran as he was president. All of a sudden, they decided to wait this long to carry something like that out. You know, it was a dead giveaway when they did this after the J13 assassination attempt. Immediately, intelligence agencies, this is what they did. They came out right after J13, and Alex predicted this. He straight up said it. He was like, they're going to blame this on Iran. That's what they're going to do. It's predictable. And then it happened. They did just exactly that. This is what they said. They said, we have been attempting to warn the president and his campaign of a potential imminent Iranian assassination plot against President Trump and his life. We're not saying that's what this was in Butler, Pennsylvania. That's literally what they said. We're not saying that's what this was in Butler, Pennsylvania, but we're just saying. But that's what these intelligence agencies do. It's all intelligence. It's disinformation, misinformation, like predictive programming, like the CIA laces their narratives within movies and music. They do the same thing through CNN, Fox News, right? And also MSNBC. All the three-letter agencies use the letter news networks. Interesting how the government loves to use acronyms for everything. And so does our mainstream media. You think that's a coincidence? Of course not. If you know, you know. But this is why InfoWars is such a threat. This is why independent media and alternative media is such a threat, because it can't be controlled. The only way it can be controlled is they can't control the narrative. They can't control the hosts. They can't control what's said. Therefore, they can't control the flow of information. So what do they have to resort to? They do the same thing with social media, Facebook, Twitter 1.0. It all came out that the feds were working hand in hand with social media companies. And Mark Zuckerberg even admitted it, but gets a pass. All that to say is you take a look at where we are now, and what's being told to us is that they're doubling down to the point of briefing President Trump again. Of very serious, credible threats. And Trump even posted it on Truth Social the other night. And yesterday, he gave a speech saying that if I were president, while Iran was threatening a former president running for president of the United States, I would make sure they know that I'm willing to blow them to smithereens, blow Iran up, blow their cities up. And it's very interesting to see how Trump gets taken in these different directions, right? I mean, from me, I remain consistent. I believe the whole thing is intelligence agencies to begin with. And when I say intelligence agencies, I'm not just saying American. I'm saying Mossad. I'm saying foreign, all with interests, right? All with interests to lead the United States of America. That's the end game, is to lead us in a direction that is not in America's interest. That could be Israel's interest, obviously, right? That could be Europe's, NATO, and the EU and the European Union just using Ukraine. Ukraine has no interest. Ukraine is nothing but a damn puppet. We all know this, right? And so when we're talking about World War III and this imminent threat to civilization, and you see the rhetoric at the same time on top of legislation and policy backing it up, with just today, the green light has been given. Another $8.7 billion to military aid to Israel and another $8 billion to Ukraine. There we go. Done deal. We're ready to go. So what's the next step? What truly is the next step? I think it's pretty clear. I think it's pretty clear that the next assassination attempt, they're already blaming it on Iran. So if they try it again and they're successful, is it possible that the CIA and intelligence agencies are clearly, and maybe the Mossad, are clearly trying to use President Trump as a catalyst in an attempt to psyop MAGA into believing that Iran actually killed President Trump? Very similar to 9/11. Remember after 9/11? Oh, it was the Islamic terrorists. You know what I mean? After 9/11, the Twin Towers fall. Oh, here come the intelligence agencies. Well, turns out that we found the Islamic terrorist's passport on the ground. We found it. We actually found it on the ground. Here's our evidence. This is our evidence. It's so wild, you know? Yeah, it's just so wild, right? But it's the same thing, right? You stage a false flag event that is very real, right? And you use it as an event to not only strike fear into the hearts of millions, but at the same time, you get them unified and pissed off and wanting to retaliate who did this and who's responsible. And our intelligence agencies are right there to point the finger and where we need to go, just like 9/11. This is, there it is. There's the enemy. You know, George Bush with a smile on his face, that smirking little smile on his face the entire time. We hear you. We hear you. Little smirk on his face. You know what I mean? Like he knows what's going on. But anyways, could that potentially be the same thing that they're trying to do with Donald Trump? In order to use that as a catalyst and an excuse to go to war with Iran? Because if you ask me, the only ones dancing on rooftops when the Twin Towers were burning and falling were the dancing Israelis, and they had very, very, very deep ties to the Mossad. That's real, okay? And you take a look at what's happening right now. Benjamin Netanyahu was in the United States of America just a couple weeks after the first assassination attempt against President Trump in our Capitol, in our House chamber, right there, saying the same thing, that if it was Iran that tried to take out President Trump, and if America doesn't retaliate, they're a bunch of cowards. Just, you know, getting all the warmongers all, like, you know, turned on. Lindsey Graham gets turned on immediately. He's just having a wargasm. You know, they love that. They love that. And so obviously there's a lot of manipulation happening right now to us as a country. There's serious manipulation coming from Europe. There's serious manipulation coming from the Middle East. Obviously Israel has their own interest. I mean, AIPAC is real. People know this. There's a little guy within Congress that is assigned to all of the House Republicans to make sure that literally are taking money from AIPAC to make sure that they are legislating in favor in Israel's interest. Yeah, if you found out that was happening and it was China, you'd get all pissed, wouldn't you? If you found out that that was Ukraine, you'd get all pissed. If you found out that was Russia, you'd get pissed. But once you hear it's Israel, you're like, oh, that's okay. That's our ally because my boomer senior pastor told me. You know what I mean? Just like question nothing. I'm America first. Okay, so I put America before Israel, before Ukraine, before Taiwan, before Gaza, Palestine, you name it, okay? And so when I take a look at the current political landscape of the United States of America and I see the Uniparty fully getting ready for a huge World War III scenario and funding another round, as Trump is incoming potentially as president elect in the next couple months, they're sending in this last spending bill to Israel. They're sending in this last spending bill to Ukraine as a potential president elect comes in, or are they really getting ready to finish the job? And this has been a huge question that has been on my mind. And let me just make myself clear. I love Trump. I care about the man. I don't want to see the guy's brains blown out in front of the entire world. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see his plane explode in front of everybody while his grandkids are on it as well, okay? And a bunch of innocent people. I don't want to see that. It's very vigilant times. That's why I'm so skeptical. That's why I know anybody that's actually paying attention doesn't trust intelligence agencies, the Secret Service, the FBI, or the very intelligence agencies that have been hunting Trump for the past nearly 10 years, spying on his campaign, setting him up, framing him, multiple impeachment hoaxes, indictments, and in my opinion, multiple assassination attempts. Now, you mean to tell me I'm supposed to just all of a sudden believe them when they come out and say, hey, Iran is trying to kill you, sir. It's not us. I know all of your followers are saying that. I know everyone in the independent alternative media, right, outside of the media we can control is saying that. But we just want you to know, sir, it's Iran. It's not us, not the Secret Service, nobody from within. It's not us. It's Iran, sir. I pray for President Trump. I pray for discernment. I pray for wisdom. I pray for eyes to see. Because you know what? I will tell you this. The ultimate inside job, the ultimate inside betrayal and setup is found in the most famous story of all time. The most famous story in the existence of mankind. And that's the gospel story of Jesus Christ, betrayed by Judas Iscariot. One of his own hand-picked, selected, trusted 12 apostles, men. One of them, Judas, was the very one to leak the intel to where Jesus would be at the perfect time, at the perfect place, in order for a coup and a betrayal to take place so he could be handed over to the Jews and the Romans to be executed, right? And if that happened to Jesus, I'm not saying that Trump is Jesus. All I'm saying is the most famous example of all time to what an inside job betrayal looks like when you got someone in your inner circle leaking critical information about your whereabouts, where you're going to go, what's being said. We know that the Secret Service is compromised. We know that their communications is compromised. But if you ask me, there's a mole somewhere. And after what happened in West Palm Beach, I was even more convinced. I was even more convinced. I mean, obviously the Secret Service is compromised, but I really do wonder if there's a mole in that campaign. Because how the hell does Ryan Routh know to be at that golf course when seasonally that course is not necessarily open to everybody, and Trump makes a last minute decision to go golfing on a Sunday morning, and Ryan Routh already knows about it 12 hours in advance? There's some personal information floating around that's getting out around Trump in his inner circle. Could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, honestly. I really hope I'm wrong, but this keeps happening. This keeps happening. These activated assassins just end up in the right place at the right time perfectly. But I will tell you this. I don't think that Secret Service agent that saw Ryan Routh's barrel poking out of the bush, I don't think he was supposed to see that. It could have been a male or a female. I don't know. But whoever that Secret Service agent was, I don't think they were supposed to see that. I don't think that was part of the plan. I think Ryan Routh was supposed to take his shots, kill Trump, get out of there, get in his car, drive to Mexico. That came out, by the way. He was searching how to get from West Palm Beach to Mexico. So many inconsistencies, right? And and somehow this guy had Trump's schedule all the way up until October. Anybody that is a Trump fan or a Trump supporter knows that Trump's October schedule is not publicly known. Okay. Trump's rally schedule, speaking engagement schedule. I think the only date that has been released was maybe a couple days ago when he announced he's going back to Butler, Pennsylvania in the beginning of October. But at the time Ryan Routh was doing what he was doing, that was not made public. That was not made public. So how the hell did he get that? That's my question. And so, again, if we really are living in a banana republic, if we really are living in a third world country, well, look around you. Look at the symptoms of what that actually looks like, a deterioration of its justice system, of a nation that has fallen into that, a deterioration of law and order, lawlessness abounding, corruption everywhere, not only in the media, not only in law enforcement, not only in political leadership, but in everything. Total depravity, moral deterioration, right? And you see weaponized government against political opponents that pose a threat to the regime. But at the same time, you also see assassinations. You see revolutionary figures, revolutionary leaders all get taken out because they pose a threat to the power system. And that's obviously Donald Trump right now. And another thing I'll say as well is, listen, man, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see this. I don't. But it looks like they're getting closer and closer to it. And this whole Iranian plot narrative, it just reeks. It reeks of like a 9/11 repeat. It reeks of it. It reeks of deflection, but at the same time, conveniently using Trump as a potential catalyst to launch America as an excuse and maybe even get his supporters okay with it, to retaliate and go after Iran, just blame the assassination attempt on them. And there we are in another never-ending war in the Middle East. And people believing that it's justified because we're getting the bad guys that got Trump. For me, I don't believe it. I just don't. I don't trust these intelligence agencies. They're going after everybody. These same people that have been hunting Alex Jones, that have been hunting InfoWars, that threw Owen Schroyer in jail and all the J6ers in jail, that have been spying on Trump's campaign, that have been creating lists, compiling lists of anybody that makes a purchase with the name MAGA or Trump in it. And these same people all of a sudden care about Trump. All of a sudden need to brief him and let him know, sir, Iran is trying to kill you, sir. And meanwhile, there's five kill squads floating around the United States of America seeking to neutralize Donald Trump. And what the hell is being done about this? What is being done? Well, nothing. Why? Because that is the goal. They want him dead. Why do you think they got Hillary Clinton? They got Hillary Clinton all up and down the news, MSNBC saying, why is the mainstream? I don't understand why the mainstream. This is literally what she said. Well, I don't understand why the mainstream media, Rachel. She was talking to Rachel Maddow. I don't understand, Rachel, why the mainstream media can't remain consistent about what a threat Donald Trump is. This was days after what happened in West Palm Beach, Florida. Of course she's salty because of the L she took in 2016, but they want the man dead. They want him dead. That's why the mainstream media is doubling down. They tried to fake it for 48 hours after J-13, but after this one, they're just like, no, it's just, let's double down. He's a threat to democracy. They're not stopping. They're not stopping at all. Because it's obvious they want him dead. And it's not about Donald Trump. It's about us. It's about MAGA or just America First or anybody that identifies as just a constitutionalist, someone that loves America. That's what this is really about. It's about that movement that transcends Donald Trump, that transcends Alex Jones or any individual that finds themselves on the front lines here. This is about our nation. This is about what America is actually going to look like, what America is actually going to function like in the next 50 years and beyond. That's what this is truly about. The deep state knows it. These global elites know it. These foreign intelligence agencies know it. They all know it. And that's what's at stake here, honestly. And it's going to be interesting to see where we end up. We're just about what? What did Alex say? We're 39 days? Is it 39 days? Just a month and a few days out from possibly, potentially the end of the Republic. We'll see. We'll see where this goes. But one thing I do know, and with all this talk of World War III and potential nuclear holocaust, man, if you have not made your peace with Jesus Christ, you need to do it now, dude. Stop waiting. Stop postponing it, because either you die in World War III, you're going to die someday. You will die. I will die. Is your eternal life secure? Is your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you received the gospel? Have you asked for forgiveness? It's by faith alone. It's a free gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. Repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. If this imminent threat of World War III does not sober you to the reality of death and the afterlife and all of this ending, and doesn't bring you to some thought of what's next, judgment, the afterlife, am I secure? What's next? Honestly, well, I encourage you to take a look at the Bible. I encourage you to put your faith in Jesus Christ, because time is running out. Doesn't mean that we stop fighting, because we don't know when that time ends. We fight that good fight every single day, all hands on deck, full throttle, never letting down, because the other side and these evil powers, they don't take a break. They don't take vacations. They don't take a breather. And when one of their own is done or taken out, they initiate and activate 50 more to take their place. And so this is a fight and a war against good and evil. And people do need to make a decision. People do need to make a decision. You got to pick a side. A lot of people want to cuck out and say, oh, well, I'm just in the middle. No, you're not. You're not in the middle. This is good or evil. Which one are you? Which side do you choose? Because you can't just sit in the middle and be some cuck that tries to be like, oh, I'm a centrist. I don't believe in anything. Wow, great. That's really going to help us. Everyone believes in something. Now, what side are you on? That decision is up to you. Alrighty, guys, make sure to follow me on X. That's at Drew H Live. You can find me Monday through Friday on Rumble. I host Drew Hernandez Live, rumble.com/Drew Hernandez. Make sure to go follow me, guys. The War Room is up next when we come back on the other side. So do not go anywhere.